Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please.
All right, listen up.
I am ready to be back on the air.
Welcome to the show. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Everybody, go back to work.
It's Tuesday.
This is another one of my favorites.
How many times can I say I'm sorry? How many times?
Right here, guys. This is the part of the song that I think I like the most. It goes,
you know. Darn it, I missed it.
Hello, my little tempura roll.
Hi.
What are you doing today, you... Snuggus? Snuggus, snuggus, snuggus.
We're on the air. We're on the air.
Oh, great. Hi.
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 Welcome to the show.
How's my little spicy tuna today?
What's wrong with you?
What do you mean, what's wrong with me? How are you?
Are you hungry?
Huh? What?
What? Why are you calling me sushi rolls? Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hey.
How are you, honey bunches?
Why are you calling me honey bunches?
What do you mean? It's just because I love you, because you're my little squishy-wishy. I just love you so much, my little cuddly-waddly.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
We're sorry. Due to heavy calling, we cannot complete your call at this time.
Tuesday.
I am not a morning person. Wake me at 10.
Come on. It's showtime.
Showtime.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Dex and Steve-O. 6:10.
Man, high today in the 50s. 57. It's getting warmer again, guys.
57?
57. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's great. What's the rest of the week look like?
Tomorrow it's going to cap out at 60, which is pretty good, is it? Yeah, makes its way back to the high, but, you know, 59 Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it's looking like we're going to get some warmer days here.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 60 over the weekend. Mostly sunny, nice outside.
Beautiful.
Yeah, pal. Good morning.
January 31st. Man, January is over.
Yeah, this is it, guys.
Christmas, right around the corner. Mark my words. Big show today. 585 Live, you can text into the program. 585-5483. You can call us as well, 338-3700. Coming up, we have a guest. Gunnar Nelson, going to be on the show. Gunnar Nelson is half of Nelson.
I do not remember any Nelson songs.
Are you kidding me? Wait, you don't remember Nelson?
I remember they were twins.
I can't live without your love and affection. I can't wait another night on my own.
Nothing?
Nothing.
These were the two monster hits.
Really?
Can't live without your love.
Was that the cheesy video on MTV?
And oh,
it was,
yeah.
Just like them. I remember seeing them on MTV.
Yeah. They looked like women.
Yeah.
They were hot.
Long blonde.
Okay. I'm kidding. I thought they were girls. Sorry.
No one in this way. Oh, baby.
Oh, man.
Gunnar Nelson. So the Nelson twins, they are the sons of what is it? Ricky Nelson? Yeah, Rick Nelson. And the grandchildren of Ozzy and Harriet.
Whoa.
Remember Ozzy and Harriet?
Wait. Their dad
is Ricky Nelson.
Dude, Lonesome Town? Are you kidding me? Isn't that sad that I'm like, wait. I know Ricky Nelson.
Yeah.
They're the kids of Ricky Nelson?
His grandma and grandpa is Ozzy and Harriet.
Who cares about that? Ricky Nelson, man.
Oh, yeah, Ricky Nelson.
Lonesome Town.
Yeah.
That was on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. They're the only family in music history with three generations of number one hits.
Wow, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Gunnar Nelson.
Dude, see
what
he's
up to. What is he up to? What is he doing?
I mean, I don't know.
What is a guy? How old is Gunnar Nelson? He's got to be, what, 50s? Last month he released a Christmas album. And, oh, he's going on tour. He has a lot of great celebrity stories.
Huh.
Mama Cass, baby?
Yeah, Mama Cass, dude. Mama's and the Papas.
Okay, I don't know.
Come on, dude.
Do. That song, like the Mamas and Papas?
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell what you were singing, but I'm
trying
like,
to get into the
California Dreamin'.
Okay.
All the leaves are brown.
He got guitar lessons from Bob Dylan.
Wow.
And George Harrison was always in and out of his family's house.
Okay. So, hey, this is going to be good.
Yeah, he's got stories, guys.
Aren't you glad I booked it now, jerk?
Great book, guy. great book, guy. Good job.
Mike, I remember Nelson.
That's funny. You don't remember those songs.
I don't at all.
That's crazy to me because those were big radio hits.
Ugh. Maybe I was already listening to my own CDs or something. When did these come out?
80s. Yeah, 80s.
Really?
80s or 90s. It was early 90s or 80s. I'm not sure. But I was a fan. I used to rock them when I was just a little kid.
Gosh.
Yeah. So 8:20, we'll talk to Gunnar Nelson.
Okay.
Half of Nelson.
Love and Affection came out in 1990.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe that's why. That was like right when good things were happening.
That's when you got your first CD Walkman.
Man.
With the anti-skip mechanism.
Okay. Yeah, dude. Smells Like Teen Spirit, 91. So I feel like that was right.
With the pop.
That was right when
grunge hit.
Yeah.
Soundgarden.
When did the Black Album by Metallica come out? Because I feel like that was, yeah.
That was the turning point.
I picked up our buddy Bill Peterson this morning. He needed a ride to work. And I was listening to the Black Album.
Yeah? When did that album come out?
91. And gosh, great year. And he was like, whoa, Metallica. I'm like, yeah, man.
Is he a fan?
Still one of the greatest. No, he was giggling. He's giggling at me.
That's great. Yeah, you were probably out of that whole pop stage.
Yeah, I definitely didn't listen to that kind of music. So,
well, I grew up in Montana. Like I said, we only had one radio station to listen to, and it was a pop station. My mom wouldn't let me listen to the alternative rock station.
Oh.
Years later, I became the personality on that station.
That is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to listen to The Peak up in Montana.
It was called The Peak, and that was the rock station?
97.5 The Peak was my very first
radio
station. Now
when I think of The Peak, I think of Lifehouse and The Fray.
Well, yeah, I mean, we played Lifehouse.
Oh.
Yeah. But we also played Metallica.
What about the Pumpkins?
Oh, yeah. Smiths. Yeah. We played 80s, 90s.
What about Stone Temple Pilots?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Cool, man. It was a weird mix of music. It really was.
Man.
It was a fun station. It's where I got my radio start. What else we got on the show this morning? Cal Penn.
Dude. Yes.
You're going to want to hear this story.
He's currently on a show called Designated Survivor.
When does that come back?
Right?
What the heck?
Dude.
It's been a long break.
Chrissy seriously thought that I sabotaged her DVR because she was like, no, there's got to be episodes and you quit recording them for your stupid shows. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, it has not come back yet.
My wife and I have the same fight. That's so funny.
It's on like serious hiatus and I don't understand. But yeah, he's currently on Designated Survivor as the, what is he, the press secretary now?
Mm-hmm. He's great in that show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he worked in the Obama administration. So in real life, he has this experience. Well, this week, man, he just, yeah.
It's been a great story.
Interesting week for Cal Penn. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Has to do with the Syrian refugees.
Yes.
which we're not going to get political. No. Okay. No. We know the state of the country. We get it. Last thing we want to be is Facebook.
Oh.
Just, I can't stand it anymore. This would be a good time for a company to launch another social network.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would jump ship in a second and go over to another type of Facebook page.
Oh, that's true, huh? Because you wouldn't have to just deal with the chaos. Why not go back to MySpace, buddy?
Because nobody's there.
I'll go with you.
Okay. Maybe we could grow our audience back on MySpace.
By the way, Designated Survivor comes back March 8th.
What? Wait. What? March?
March.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
People are going to forget about the show.
Yeah, I've already forgotten what happened.
Are you kidding? You can't do that.
Yeah, March 8th.
Can't have the mid-season finale and then not come back for 4 months.
I mean.
Whatever. We'll talk about Starbucks.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good old Schultz, the CEO. Saying things and causing a stir once again.
The grossest food that people love in every state. What do New Mexicans love to eat here? What is it?
I think it's magical and wonderful, but I'm wondering if it's not the chili relleno.
Huh? Because,
you know,
out.
It's fried. It's.
I love a chili relleno.
Right. A what?
Chili relleno. Chili relleno.
You love chili and Rihanna?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
They go great together. Yeah. Get a nice box of wine.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Let's kick off the show with an amazing story about a couple kids who got their wishes granted. These might be the two weirdest Make-A-Wish requests we've seen.
Okay.
And they actually got granted. This is great. A kid in Tucson named Ben turned 8 this month. He's been fighting kidney cancer for 2 years. His immune system is shot. So poor Ben can't go out much. But Ben's obsessed with Amazon. He loves getting stuff in the mail. So he recently got to tour one of their giant fulfillment centers in Phoenix where they ship stuff out. It's over 1 million square feet, has about 8 miles of conveyor belts, and the look on his face when he walked in was pretty great. It was like he showed up at Disneyland.
Dude.
And now he's at an Amazon factory. But Ben, what the heck?
You can do anything.
Right.
Any wish.
Yeah.
They're like, oh man, we got this for days.
Kidding me?
Cost us $27 in gas to fulfill this wish.
Yeah, he just wanted to tour the Amazon.
Oh man,
Amazon plant. Do you YouTube those plant? They're huge.
Really?
They are insane.
I mean, it makes sense.
They have everything.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You think of Santa Claus. That's what I think of. Is that
is the Amazon?
Yeah,
factory.
That's what it's like because they have everything.
Yeah.
Okay, the second request is even crazier. It's really weird. There's a 16-year-old girl near Columbus, Ohio, named Alyssa, who has leukemia. One of the things on her bucket list was to tase somebody.
Oh, okay.
Let me say that again. One of the things on her bucket list was to tase somebody. Well, her uncle is a cop and saw a video once where he, or she saw a video once where he got tased during his training. So she's always wanted to do it. She put it on her list. She kind of did it as a joke, but a cop named Doug heard about it recently and offered to let her tase him this past Sunday. But then she got to do it again when her uncle also volunteered. She got to tase two people.
Okay.
Here it is.
Taser, taser, taser.
I don't like inflicting pain on people. I didn't know it was going to be that painful, really. What?
Taser, taser, taser.
I'm never doing this again. Okay, I had the experience.
That is awesome.
It makes us feel good just to know that she's getting to experience some things that, you know, she wants to do.
It is unpleasant, to say the least, but it, for 5 seconds, if it makes somebody's kind of dream come true, especially in her situation, I think it's well worth it no matter what.
When somebody asked, she said, "I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going."
No. Oh, man.
And that really kind of helped me, even as her mom.
Everybody makes bucket lists, so I'm very, very grateful and appreciative for everything that everybody's doing for me.
Well, she got to tase 2 people.
Well, when you put it in that context.
I know, right? Gosh. Yeah.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Taser, taser, taser!
That's the best one.
I just...
Super weird.
Of all of the wishes in the world, last year when we went to Disneyland, took the family, and I got to sit with this amazing family at the Cars ride in California Adventure, and they were there on a Make-A-Wish grant, if you will, and they were from, I can't even remember where they were from. They were from far away.
Yeah.
And I was sitting by the family and talking to the sister because her little sister dealing with cancer. And man, you know, you just get to share a moment with this family and talk a little bit about it. And it's amazing what Make-A-Wish does.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting to me, the wishes that they get sometimes.
So weird.
That is so odd.
Yeah.
It's like, baby, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
You know, but on the flip side, you think about it, that's your child, and your child's going through that, and you want them to have everything and just be able to experience whatever they want. It's like, that's okay. That's what you want?
Yeah, but that's still weird.
Would you be like, hey, kiddo, let's go to the Outback. Not Outback. Not the Bloomin' Onion.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, the Outback. Let's go to Australia.
Yeah,
Let's go punch a kangaroo.
No, Dad, I want to tase you. What?
What? No. I want to punch a kangaroo. This is my list, Dad.
I want to punch a kangaroo. Yeah, I'm sure.
I wonder if they get some that are just like so outlandish that they're like, I'm sorry, we can't accommodate that.
I'm going to hit the Google during the break and see if I can find a list of really weird
wishes.
Requests, because those are a little weird.
I want you to resurrect Andre the Giant so I can fight him.
There was a video that I saw yesterday. It was real. Oh, gosh. I almost broke down in tears. Little kid. He must have been 6, 7 years old. And he was doctors gave him just months to live. He had a brain tumor. And his one wish was to meet Stephen Curry.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Oh, Steph showed up, just hugged the kid, talked to him, brought him a bunch of gear. Just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure those guys have to do stuff like that all the time, which
is
really great that they do it. But can you imagine having to meet kids like that all the time?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Heartbreaking.
I have a story coming up about Tom Brady, the heartless quarterback for the New England Patriots. Who will actually melt your heart.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I am not a Patriots fan in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Yesterday was media day for the Super Bowl, and a little kid melted the heart of stone.
Beautiful.
Known as Tom Brady. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Beautiful.
Oh! Why are we going to cry?
We don't have to
Tearful
cry.
Tuesday.
It's Tearful Tuesdays, guys.
We're going to interview Gunnar Nelson, talk to him about his father, Ricky, who's no longer here. We're going to talk about Tom Brady.
585 Life.
Talk about President Trump and his latest apprentice firing.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Sam and Gallup.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got your headlines. We'll check the roads on a Tearful Tuesday.
Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the Cardinals have to pay the Houston Astros $2 million within the next month and give the Astros the card's top two picks in the 2017 draft. Last year, former St. Louis scouting director Christopher Correa pleaded guilty to illegally breaking into Houston's confidential player databases.
The White House defends President Trump's order suspending immigration from seven nations with Muslim majorities.
This is about the safety of America, and there's a reason that the majority of Americans agree with the president. It's because they understand that that's his number one priority.
Spokesman Sean Spicer says the president is taking common sense steps and that it's not about religion, but opponents call it discrimination.
We are a nation founded by the descendants of asylum seekers.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer trying to block the order in Congress. He also leads a rally at the Supreme Court.
Three of the biggest makers of insulin products to treat diabetes are being sued in a class action lawsuit.
Two U.S. officials tell us Iran secretly conducted a new ballistic missile test launch at a launch site outside Simnan, Iran, about 140 miles east of Tehran.
Man, gotta love the news.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Tearful Tuesday is right.
6:34.
High today of 58 degrees.
How are the roads?
Traffic! The roads are clear. There is not a cloud in the sky or a car on the road. I know that's not true because people are listening to us while they drive. However, there's no accidents to report, so it's all good, man.
It's all good.
It's all good. Man.
Traffic!
No texting and driving. Okay? Just put that phone down. 585 Live if you want to text us, though. Just make sure you're not driving. Coming up at 8:20, Gunnar Nelson. Nelson twins, remember? His grandma and grandpa were Ozzy and Harriet. His dad was Rick Nelson. Come on. 50s teen idol, Rick. Bill knows. Bill, you know. 8:20, we'll talk to Gunnar. So we did this story about a couple Make-A-Wish kids who got their wishes granted. Ben got to, he had an obsession with Amazon. He loves to receive packages in the mail. And he got to tour an Amazon plant. And this next one, 16-year-old girl named Alyssa, she got to tase two people. She put that on her bucket list.
Gosh.
That she wanted to tase somebody. And she actually did.
Taser, taser, taser.
Oh, I don't like inflicting pain on people. I didn't know it was going to be that painful, really.
Taser. Amazing. Well, I did some research during the break and found one of the greatest Make-A-Wish stories ever. In fact, I found out why Make-A-Wish doesn't allow hunting trips. Because that kind of used to be some things they used to do is, you know, if a kid wanted to go out and hunt something, they would do it. Well, I can't wait to share this story with you guys. I kind of feel like we should wait because it's so good, but you know what? We could share it later again because it's that good. This happened in 1996. 17-year-old Eric was suffering from a brain tumor and wanted to kill a bear. The bear, well, it's a Kodiak brown bear. Yeah, they're huge. They are not as big as a polar bear, but that's like the second biggest bear in the world.
Yeah.
It's the big one. And it was bear season in Alaska at the time. Well, Make-A-Wish prepared all the proper paperwork and permits to make the hunt go through. Well, you can imagine, animal rights groups, they leaped into action, trying to stop the trip from happening. Even Pierce Brosnan invited Eric and his family to the film set of Dante's Peak if Eric would just call off the hunt. Well, Eric declined. He wanted to kill a bear.
Okay.
Well, as the hunting trip grew near, activist groups began to place more and more pressure on Make-A-Wish to stop the hunt.
Yeah, dude.
Groups held protests, and you know, the phones were ringing off the hook. I mean, they were trying to shut this thing down. But the kid, he wanted to kill a bear. He wanted to kill a Kodiak bear. And again, the kid has a brain tumor.
That doesn't mean you have to let him kill a bear.
Paperwork's already through, man. Make-A-Wish is freaking out at this point. Oh my gosh, did we make the biggest mistake of our lives? Because I wish I remembered this back. You know, the internet wasn't really around in 1996. So,
right. I mean, it was. We just weren't using it because we were poor.
Yeah. So all these attempts to try to get this boy to call off the hunt, they failed. So the boy and his father took off to hunt a Kodiak grizzly bear.
This is crazy.
Now this is the best part. I mean, really, I used to go hunting with my dad, and it was really about spending time with your dad. I mean, you bond.
I still have the antlers in my bedroom from the elk that we killed.
Really?
See,
I missed my elk. I went out and on my first hunting trip as a hunter, because I used to just go with my dad and my brother.
Oh, see, I was like six, so it doesn't count. Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. My dad killed this.
All right. Well, I tried to shoot an elk, and I missed five times.
Oh, my gosh. Five times?
Five times.
Wow. You are terrible.
I'm kind of glad I missed. I'm you know what? I'm not a hunter. I'm not a big... I don't like to kill things. That was the last time I ever went on a hunting trip. But they went off. Eric and his dad, they went off to hunt down this grizzly bear. And, well, it happened. He got to shoot and kill a grizzly bear. Well, Make-A-Wish, they decided, we're not going to do hunting trips anymore. That's not a good idea. We'll just stay away from that. So I found another story. Remember, some kid wanted to go on a hunting trip with Ted Nugent. That was his Make-A-Wish. Make-A-Wish, nah. Remember 1996? What happened with the Kodiak grizzly bear and everybody freaking out? Canceled.
Gosh.
Well, there's another group that actually stepped in to, you know, another group kind of like Make-A-Wish.
Oh, no.
It's called Hunt of a Lifetime. And now they fulfill all the animal killing wishes sick kids can handle.
This is unreal to me.
Yep. Hunt of a Lifetime. If you have a kid that wants to go on a hunting trip, that's it right there.
That wants to just murder a rhino.
Well, you know. They grant hunting and fishing dreams for children ages 21 and under who are dealing with a life-threatening illness. You know, I think it's beautiful. If that's the wish,
okay.
I think it's great. And it's hunting season. Why not?
Aztec New Mexico chimed in and said, that's disgusting. These people cared more about a dumb animal than a dying kid.
Being the activists?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, you got people out there that they put animals right alongside humans.
Yeah.
I mean, they would almost rather see a human die than an animal.
Right. It's sad.
It is sad.
Let's go hunt grizzly bears.
Let's go just hunt a Kodiak grizzly bear in Alaska.
We'll take Marshall with us. He can forge bullets.
Whoa! Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy you take on the trip.
Yeah. I'll just forge him, and we'll load him into the gun that he just created with his bare hands.
I feel like Marshall would want to take down the Kodiak with a weapon, though. Not a gun, but like a sword.
He'd just pull out a knife and be like, let's do this.
Yeah. Come on, man, let's go!
What are we talking about? It's cool, guys. I saw this on YouTube.
Yeah, that's good.
Man.
There you go. Make-A-Wish. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. Snap.
It's early, so have your hand on that dumb button. No, I'm kidding. Hey, there's a great documentary with Ice-T when they hunt him.
Okay.
Okay.
I Have you guys seen it?
Yeah. What was that called? The Hunt?
Was it The Game?
The Game. The Game.
The Game, yeah.
Or no, no, no.
Dude, that is a great documentary.
And here I thought you were going to talk about the other documentary, Legends of the Fall, where Brad Pitt actually kills a bear.
I've never seen that.
What?
Wow, that's a great movie.
Phenomenal documentary.
I highly
recommend it. I don't even know, man. That movie, when I was a teenager, I was like, Brad Pitt's the coolest dude on the planet. He's like fighting bears and being awesome.
Yeah, and stealing his brother's wife.
That is his baddest movie. Like, he is the baddest man.
Yeah, I gotta go, man. All right, man. I see documentary, though.
I see. There you go.
Can you imagine if your brother looked like Brad Pitt?
Yeah, I know.
That'd be awful.
Ice-T.
I think it was The Game.
Hunting movie? I thought it was called, like, Surviving the Game.
Surviving the Game.
Surviving the Game.
Yeah, so Ice-T plays this homeless guy.
1994, guys.
This guy, rich guy, comes up to him and says, hey, want to take care of you. Come with me. They buy him a new outfit, just, you know, treat him to this fancy, you know, dinner, and then they take him up into the wilderness, and he's hanging out with all these rich people. And all of a sudden, they tell him, all right, we're going to finish our meal. So we'll give you a little bit of, a little head start.
Yeah.
And Ice-T basically is running for his life as they hunt him in the wilderness. That movie came out, what, mid-90s?
I just said 94, yo.
Oh, that's what I thought you said. I just wasn't listening.
Apparently, there's a fad now, mostly among professional athletes, of hunting big game with javelin. That's real.
Really?
Yeah. By the way, Portland, a.k.a. Marshall, just chimed in and said, buck knife hunting! He's in.
Buck knife hunting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But does that mean we hunt buck with knives?
Yes.
You're like surviving the game.
My old job wife.
We'll set buck out into the wilderness. I wouldn't want to do that. I feel like he'd kill us all.
You know what? He probably would.
He'd survive the game.
Yeah. But he has that injury now. He has arthritis.
That's true.
He's old.
We'll set him outside in cold weather and his joints will just start to ache. And be like, I can't. Easy prey.
Why are we laughing at this?
I don't know.
This is not okay.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Thank you, Make-A-Wish. Thank you. It's all your fault.
So I posted a few things into this morning's news that we can get into. Do we want to get emotional with old Tom Brady, or do we want to wait on that one?
Let's wait, because maybe there's a clip.
There is.
Okay.
There is. I posted it. Former President George H.W. Bush out of the hospital, and the NFL has reportedly asked him to do the coin flip at the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah.
George Dubs.
Come on, man. H-Dub. What is he, 92 years old now?
Yep.
Gosh. Mark Hamill couldn't believe how much hate the Star Wars prequels got, and he was worried fans would have the same reaction to the new trilogy.
I couldn't believe some of the things they wrote about the prequels. You know? I mean, but really, beyond I didn't like it. You ruined my childhood, and I'm still angry about the way they treated Jake Lloyd. He was only 10 years old, that boy, and he did exactly what George wanted him to do.
Yep.
Believe me, I understand clunky dialogue. So I almost got hornswoggled in that documentary where they weren't calling it The People versus George Lucas at the time, but I could tell from the questions they were asking me, it was an open invitation to trash George. And I have issues with George, but I love that man. I would never, you know, and I don't talk outside the family. It's just brutal. I just, one of the reasons I would never let my kids be in show business. Wait till you're 18, because it's going to be an endless life of rejection, yeah, ridicule, and unemployment.
Dude, Mark Hamill. Wise words.
Yeah, I think almost every celebrity parent says the same thing.
Well, dude, that poor kid, he's right. He did exactly what George Lucas wanted him to do. He played little Anakin Skywalker. It was terrible dialogue, to be sure, but man, that guy's life spiraled out of control. That was all he did. And then wasn't he arrested recently?
Yeah, it's.
Gosh.
And he's not even acting anymore, is
he? No, he's 27 years old. He's from Fort Collins, Colorado. And he was actually moved to a psychiatric facility this last year.
Mm.
So, gosh. Yeah, remember, he was in jail because he led police on a high-speed chase in South Carolina, and it's just, sad.
Well, I mean, that kind of shows you it's not for everybody.
Right.
Some people can handle the pressure, you know, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with your upbringing, your family.
Ugh.
It's sad.
Speaking of pressures, Ben Affleck, executive producer, writer of the script, star in the next Batman film, director. Oh, wait, what? He's decided to step away from directing the next Batman movie because he wants to concentrate fully on playing the character.
See, I've kind of always wondered that when you have, you know, big actors directing and starring.
Yeah.
If that would be
too much to take in. I'm glad that he actually, I feel like we're about to get a phone call. I feel like this is a smart move on his part. I was reading an article with him yesterday, and he said there are certain characters who hold a special place in the hearts of millions. Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they, DC, requires. Together with the studio, I've decided to find a partner and a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I'm still in it, we're still making it, but we're currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to the project. Look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world. I'm glad he's doing this, because, yeah, imagine, you know, big films like that. Imagine Braveheart.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson starred in that direct. I mean, that was an undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine having to do both.
Good morning.
Really?
What? Who's this?
Really?
Wait. To be fair, I said, you...
Put him out in the cold?
You...
put him out in the cold? Buck? Is this Buck?
I said you would win. I said you would survive the game.
Yeah, he did. He said that you would probably kill
us. I said you would survive.
Yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll just hire a Navy SEAL to make sure that I survive, and then we'll sit there and laugh at you as you suffer, digging through the ground looking for little mini berries and potatoes because you want to survive off the land.
Well, you know, I mean,
so true.
I didn't say it. It was Steve-O.
Whatever.
It wasn't me,
dude. No, you were defaming my good name.
I was not.
Oh man,
I would never do that.
You're defaming my good name.
No
this
way,
is true man. This
no. So how long do you think you would last?
Oh, I'd totally last.
With your arthritis? I don't think so.
Who cares? You know what, man? This is what you have to understand.
Yes.
Pain is just something that makes you uncomfortable, and if you're used to being uncomfortable, it's not a big deal.
Boom!
I worked with you for 15 years. I'm totally used to it.
Surviving the game.
You have you've had Bell's palsy, what, three, four times?
Man.
That's no joke.
Twice. Yeah. Can be fine.
But did you see our new billboard? We got a new billboard, man.
Oh, really? What is it?
It's our faces.
just our faces.
Just huge.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Dex is on the phone.
It's super weird, and yeah, it's,
you know.
Remember, we had a billboard once back in the 90s.
We did.
Yeah.
You can actually see our eyes, though, because none of us are wearing trucker hats, Buck.
You can see my eyes in that. I was looking up.
That's true. I remember. Weren't you wearing, like, cutoffs?
I had a cutoff shirt.
Cutoff shirt. Yeah. And I just remember a cutoff shirt, and I remember a trucker hat.
Yeah.
That's what I remember about that.
I was wearing a very nice Western shirt.
Yeah.
And the billboard said, "Listen, see if we care."
Oh, that's right. Gosh.
We were so cool.
We didn't get a cool tagline.
Do you want to apologize to me now, both of you?
I'm sorry.
If
we hurt your feelings.
I apologize.
No, you didn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah, we did.
Mean, if you're going to bust my chops, you should at least make sure I'm there.
Yeah. To be fair, I said you would survive the game.
I would, because and you I would beat Dex.
I would.
You'd beat Dex?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dex, because you know, whenever you compete against me in anything, what happens?
Okay, back up. Compete? Why don't you rephrase that?
Okay, so if you and I placed a wager.
Thank you.
And we were going to survive, who would win?
Well, okay, if it actually happened where we'd actually do the, you know, the hunting, that'd be a different story. But if I was to bet on whether or not...
stuttering, John.
Okay.
Just answer the question, yes or no, who would win?
I'm not even going to answer. You know what? Years ago, I said, because you always win whenever I bet against you.
That's, yeah.
And you would be betting against me if you went up against me in something like this.
That's true. Well, that's true.
You're probably right. I probably
dive in the game.
This is me dropping the mic.
Boom.
Oh man. Oh.
He hung up on himself.
That was my old job wife, Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's no way he'd beat me.
With
all the CrossFit training I've been doing.
All the CrossFit training you've been
heck
doing?
Yeah, man.
Are you going today?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Man, you know how tired I get of this every day? I go to the gym, and I wait, and then it hits 11:30, and then I look around. Yesterday, I looked over at Miranda at the gym and said, he's not coming.
I have a new time.
Ugh.
I'm a nighttime CrossFitter now.
I can't do nighttime.
Sorry, man. Changed my schedule up. I'm really just doing it for my wife.
That's fine.
If she can't make it, I go to the later class. But anyways,
today.
I grew up in Montana.
That's true.
And I CrossFit. I would win.
Wait. You grew up indoors in Montana.
No way, man. I had a cabin in the woods. I grew up in the wilderness.
Wow. All right. Don't be like Ben Affleck, man. You bow out. You bow out when you need to.
Maybe this year we could set it up. You know, I get a paintball gun. Buck gets a paintball gun. You get a paintball gun. And we go out in the wilderness and hunt each other.
I just feel like it's going to go awry.
Yeah, this is what will happen. 30 minutes in, Buck will sprain his ankle and have to be airlifted out.
30 minutes?
30 minutes in.
So what are you going to be doing at minute 15?
I'll either be doing
just
that
sucking
or
wind.
I'll be starving to death.
And 30 minutes
I probably ate all of my food before I actually got dropped off out in the middle of nowhere.
We get winded at a 12-minute AMRAP.
That's true.
Come on, man. Don't even try. Don't even try.
That is one thing we do have. We have over Buck is we are in a little bit better shape than that guy.
Because he's of CrossFit?
Well, yeah, and he's got arthritis. He's a lot older than us.
I mean, according to a new study, popping balloons can damage your hearing, and it can be louder than a shotgun blast.
Here it is. This is a balloon popping in slow-mo. Listen to this.
That
was a balloon. That was a balloon popping.
I have my headphones up.
Yes.
That's all I hear now. Gosh. One more. Amazon's virtual assistant Alexa can now order Starbucks for you, but you still have to go pick it up on your own.
Alexa? Will you order me a Starbucks?
Voice ordering and my deals are exclusively available only if you enable voice shopping. Would you like me to add Starbucks to Daniel's Amazon cart instead?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Should I add it to your Amazon cart?
No!
Yes!
All right. Check your Alexa app for more options.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it did.
You can't do that.
Alexa, order me a double frappuccino, extra caramel sauce. Double
voice
latte.
Ordering and my deals are exclusively available if you enable voice shopping.
Alexa, would stop! No! Stop trying to order things on Daniel's credit card. That's DJ Bossman Dan's Alexa.
Well,
I say that, but she's in our studio.
That's right.
Literally every day. So whose is she really?
I'm going to order some stuff later.
We spend all the time together, man, you know? I feel like her and I have bonded. She may be his property, but she's mine.
What?
In my heart.
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying. Got to take care of those around you.
Yeah. Alexa, order me a Starbucks right now.
No.
Yes, and put it on Daniel's card.
Do you want me to order Starbucks right now?
Yes. Thank you.
Voice ordering in my deals.
Okay. Oh.
Big show today. Don't forget Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah.
From the Nelson Twins. Or the band Nelson. Going to be on the show. 8:20. When we come back, Cal Penn in the news, sticking up for Syrian refugees.
Man, great story on the way.
We'll be right back. It's a long fade. Are they done?
I'm just kind of walking away at this point.
I hear you. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Dex and Steve-O.
Yep.
7-Eleven.
Yeah. And Circle K. Wait, what? High today at 57 degrees. Traffic. We got some road construction. The roadway is reduced to one lane. Comanche Road at Morris. Also, some road construction in that area. Wantabo Boulevard between Montgomery and Spain. It's reduced to one lane in that area as well. No accidents to report this morning. Looking good so far. That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit. Located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com. Or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Coming up at 8:20, Gunnar Nelson. Half of Nelson.
Yeah.
His dad was Ricky Nelson.
Which is awesome, man! That's the coolest part.
Today is January 31st, 56 years ago, in 1961. Ham the Chimp. You know what Ham the Chimp? Ham the Chimp was such a good little chimp because he volunteered to be the first animal sent into space. Yes, he volunteered. He was shot 158 miles above the Earth. Not sure if they left him there to die or not. No record of Ham the Chimp ever coming back to Earth.
Really?
They probably left him there to die.
Wow. That was back when America cared more about humanity than animals. Wait.
When?
Huh?
You think he might still be floating up there in space somewhere?
Oh my gosh. What if that's the actual beginning of Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
We just left him to die. But he found life in space.
Yes.
And he came back for his revenge. We need Jarlton and Heston to make a return.
That's pretty good.
Thanks, man.
This is a good Charlton Heston. I'm Charlton Heston.
That's really bad.
Hi, guys. I'm Charles.
Hey, I'm Charlton Heston.
Hey, guys.
I am the president of the NRA. He would be freaking out right now.
Oh, my gosh, he would.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on in our nation.
Yeah, no kidding. It wasn't too long ago he passed away, right? Yeah, I wish there was something we could...
just some way to know he died in 2008.
Yeah.
Nope, just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2008.
Here's the topic. If you could move to one planet, which planet would it be?
That's a terrible topic. That's not what we're talking about.
Why not?
Because it is the stupidest topic.
I'd move to Mars.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Thinking of moving out of the country? Why not move to Mars?
Mars.
Mars.
That Mars?
Yes, that Mars. We're prepping the surface of Mars for colonization right now. We'll be taking colonists soon, and we're thinking of adding a new subdivision. So get in while you can. Plus, on Mars, we don't have cell phone towers. Nobody to bug you. Oh. None of your bill collectors can find you. Oh. And no traffic to speak of at all. Oh. Just the one rover. We'll let you drive it.
Oh.
So act now and move to Mars.
I'm in.
It's going to take you a couple years to get here.
But the new Applebee's will be done by the time you do.
Oh. Applebee's?
You know I love me some Applebee's.
So remember, Mars. And you can live among the stars. Oh, I just made that up.
I'm in.
Count me in. They got an Applebee's on Mars.
I would hate that. That would be I was going to say hell on Earth, but I guess it's hell on Mars.
Yeah.
Because those establishments are not my favorites. Well, like the Chili's types, those types.
You better watch what you say.
I know. I'm just trying to be careful. But
some fine dining out there.
Shut up.
Valentine's Day booked. Ready to go.
Oh, I wish you were joking.
I know.
Oh, so
it's
sad.
So true. All right, let's talk about Cal Penn.
Yes, dude. He is on a new show called Designated Survivor. We love this show.
If you haven't seen this yet, I'm not a big network
Me either.
Guy. Usually they're kind of cheesy. I don't really like the formula that they use because they're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
This is a really good show.
Yeah, it really is. And it's Kiefer Sutherland, so come on.
Yeah.
Come on!
It's got Jack Bauer.
Yeah. It's really, really good. And you have plenty of time to catch up because we just found out that the mid-season premiere is not until March 8th.
This is true. Yeah. If you've got the Hulu, it's on there.
Well,
caught up.
Cal Penn, who worked in President Obama's administration as an associate director in the White House Office of Public Engagement, he plays fictional White House press secretary Seth Wright on Designated Survivor. He was born in Montclair, New Jersey, to Guajarativa immigrant parents. Parents were immigrants. Well, he posted something about what's going on in the world right now, and specifically in America with President Trump's ban. And he said, families are being torn apart. Shame on us. This is un-American. What Donald Trump and the Republican Party are doing is wholly un-American. Well, someone fired back at him and said, you don't belong in this country, you bleeping joke.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty harsh.
Internet troll.
Yeah. Internet trolls are not a new thing. They say horrible things because they're behind a keyboard and they can.
Keyboard warrior.
There's really no accountability when it comes to trolling somebody's Instagram, Facebook, whatever. However, Cal Penn decided to do something very, very different. Instead of firing back on Instagram or just shutting it out or blocking that guy, he did something pretty crazy. He responded to this claim with a charity effort that is blowing my mind. He said, quote, we are better than the hateful people who tell us we don't belong in our country, that America can't be a beacon of freedom and hope for refugees around the world. We will turn their bigotry, along with the president's, into love. He started a fundraiser in honor of the dude who told him he didn't belong in the bleeping country.
In honor of the internet troll?
It's seriously called Donating to Syrian Refugees in the Name of the Dude Who Said I Don't Belong in America. He then showed the little tweet that the guy sent that said, because you don't belong in this country, expletive joke. In 30 minutes, it was like trending. It was crazy. And Cal Penn raised $760,000.
Oh my gosh. Almost $1 million?
In less than 24 hours.
Holy cow.
Oh, I believe.
How nutty is that?
And it's just going to keep growing.
Oh, yeah, it's still going. Look at those requests coming in. Boom. People raising money. Yeah. $760,000 it is currently sitting at, because rather than, I don't know, have a meltdown, rather than troll him back on the internet, he took it and did something positive with it. Within 30 minutes of the fundraising post, it had already received over $5,000. By Sunday afternoon, he had raised $300,000. And, you know, Monday morning, he had crossed $500,000, and it's at $760,000 currently.
That's crazy.
So here's the thing. Like, when we are faced with things, whether it's a bully, a situation we don't love, the big question I have is, how do we respond? How do we choose to respond? Because we can choose to respond in a number of ways. And I think sometimes, you know, from time to time, it's very rare these days, but from time to time, we get emails, we get messages from people that are very unkind. Mm. It's rare.
It doesn't happen that much
anymore. It doesn't happen, a whole lot anymore. So it is very rare. I remember when it was more prominent here, and I would just be devastated. Like, I would take every word that everyone said so seriously as if they had power over me.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what we do in turn. When we allow some stranger to fluster us, frustrate us, anger us to a point where we retaliate in an arrogant or sinful way. Because scripture talks about this. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say, don't ever get angry. I think there's this lie that, like, oh, we just have to be meek and mild and calm and collected at all times.
Well, we saw Jesus. We saw him get angry a few different times.
And it says, in your anger, do not sin. So the presupposition is there are times in your life where you're going to get angry. You're going to get irritated. You're going to get irate, PO'd, if you will.
Mm.
But how do you handle it in that moment? Do you allow some hater, some negative person, some jealous ridden moron, whatever it is, whatever the case may be? Do you allow them to affect you so much that they ruin your day because you are now consumed by their, whether it's arrogance, ignorance, or just idiocy?
It's hard because our mind is the devil at times. Like, it can be such a bad thing because...
Well, it's in our nature. We're sinful beings, yeah. Right? So, like...
Our mind, when somebody throws hurtful words at you, especially when you're not used to it...
Yeah.
Because I was the same way back in my earlier radio career. I would get a bad letter or an email.
Yeah.
And it would hurt.
Oh, no!
It would be like someone stabbed me in the gut.
Yeah.
And then I would start to think, well, maybe it's true... You know, you just, your mind starts to just think of all these just awful things and it can really overtake you.
Yeah.
And over time, if it happens to you over and over, you get what they call thick skin. And now it's, I'll say whatever you want. I don't care. It just kind of ricochets off of you, you know?
Yeah.
But it is hard. I would imagine for most people out there that don't deal with that day to day, when somebody fires back with a hurtful word, now it's a Facebook post.
Yeah. It's something I'm still struggling with because, like, you have much thicker skin than me because you're much larger. And so as a skinny guy,
that's true. I don't have thick skin.
See, you did really good.
Yeah.
You did really good. I just said something negative about you and it was totally false and you just knew it was a lie.
I laughed it off.
And you laughed about it.
Because I have thick skin.
I mean, really thick skin. It's like blubber. You will. What?
See, I didn't.
You didn't even.
Honestly, wasn't even listening.
CrossFit. Somebody on the live line chimed in yesterday and said they were watching you on the webcam and you're looking really good.
I don't know about that. I appreciate that, but I don't know. It's definitely. It's frustrating for me because I don't really see a whole lot of difference.
I see a ton.
I still have a gut.
No, whatever.
Yes, I do.
Whatever.
My butt's looking pretty good in these days. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, man. I love it. So, anyways, real quick story from Calpin. I thought it was fantastic. His response is just one of 100 ways you can respond, you know, in opposition to anything. It doesn't even have to be to this executive order, whether you agree with it or not. It's just something in your life, some opposition in your life. How you respond makes all the difference because... Man, they shouldn't have that much power over you. They shouldn't affect you so much. I don't care who it is in your life.
Yeah. Has there been a response from the internet troll?
No, it's not in the story.
Can you imagine? I wonder how, you know, when he saw this, what his reaction was.
I have a hard time, especially when people start attacking like Cal Penn because he looks like he's, you know, an immigrant or something. He has immigrant parents, but he was born in America. He's an American citizen.
That's what I don't understand.
You know what I mean?
America is a melting pot of everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all immigrants.
Yeah.
And, you know, our family, my great grandfather.
Unless you're Native American, bro, you're an immigrant.
my great grandfather was Hungarian and he actually, He moved his wife and I think child over here, or maybe he came first.
Yeah.
Did they usually come first and set things up? Is that usually how it happened?
The chicken came first.
I can't remember.
Yeah. God created the chicken, they laid more eggs.
The chicken did come before.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's just how it all happened. That's how we got here.
Uh-huh.
And for people to not realize that.
Right. Well, it's just ignorance.
Mind.
But sometimes I think because people are so like, moronic, if you will. Like, you just get so angry because you want them to understand.
Yeah.
But you just, you can't. You can't allow that to frustrate you so much that you say something stupid or negative or... I loved Cal Penn's response.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. He's raised $760,000 for refugees. So...
maybe that's how we have to look at all these situations. If somebody... let's say you're at work and somebody says something to you that you don't like.
Yeah.
Maybe you're getting bullied at school. Maybe it is at work. Let's respond in love somehow. Let's do something for them.
Yeah.
Do the opposite of what they did to you.
Amen. Yeah, dude. Are you kidding me? In the time it took us to tell this story, this site has already raised another $2,000.
Mm. Crazy. It's just going to get...
it's awesome.
It's going to get bigger and bigger. And yeah. it's all for the refugees, right?
Yeah. And I will say, speaking of refugees, Starbucks made an announcement recently. We got to talk about this coming up. Starbucks made an announcement recently regarding the refugees that has caused quite the stir, speaking of controversy and how people respond to things.
Man, it's because that's really
do what I hear everybody's a coffee boycott coming?
Okay.
Do I hear it? I'm just saying. People respond in different ways to different things. And coming up, we are going to talk a little bit about this because, the CEO of Starbucks made an announcement this week, and it has caused quite the stir.
Yeah, let's just remember, though, you know, especially Facebook, because let's face it, most of us live on Facebook. Let's really try hard today to not be negative.
Yeah.
If you see a post that you don't like, that you disagree with, let's try to do the opposite of how you want to react, because the way you want to react is in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do the opposite of that today. Or, you know, if you don't have any self-control, just don't respond at all.
Yeah. It's funny. Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico listening. He said, sounds a lot like turning the other cheek.
Mm, beautiful.
Matthew 5:39.
Sam Swan.
But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anybody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. We could totally get into the science or the theology of that, like backhanded insults and yeah. Dude, you just love them.
Gotta love them. Gotta love them.
10-4, yeah. Copy that.
We'll take a break. We'll find out what Starbucks is doing for the refugees when we come back.
Very, very early in the morning.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the Cardinals have to pay the Houston Astros $2 million within the next month and give the Astros the Cards' top two picks in the 2017 draft. Last year, former St. Louis scouting director Christopher Correa pleaded guilty to illegally breaking into Houston's confidential player databases.
The White House defends President Trump's order suspending immigration from seven nations with Muslim majorities.
This is about the safety of America, and there's a reason that the majority of Americans agree with the president. It's because they understand that that's his number one priority.
Spokesman Sean Spicer says the president is taking common sense steps and that it's not about religion, but opponents call it discrimination.
We are a nation founded by the descendants of asylum seekers.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer trying to block the order in Congress. He also leads a rally at the Supreme Court.
Three of the biggest makers of insulin products to treat diabetes are being sued in a class action lawsuit.
Two U.S. officials tell us Iran secretly conducted a new ballistic missile test launch at a launch site outside Simnan, Iran, about 140 miles east of Tehran.
Good times.
Great times. 7:39.
High today of 58 degrees, am I right?
Beautiful outside today. Traffic.
Well, actually, there's not a whole lot going on the roads right now. It looks like it's not even backed up yet.
Good.
I-40, if you're traveling eastbound, it's got the yellow going, which means a little caution, but that's it. There's no accidents report this morning.
Good.
Everything's clear on the roads. Actually, look at traffic.
Traffic!
Coming up at 8:20, Gunnar Nelson. No, not the UFC fighter.
That's so weird.
Remember the band Nelson back in the 90s? Gunnar Nelson was half of Nelson. Him and his twin brother. Their dad was Ricky Nelson. And his grandparents were Ozzy and Harriet. And we'll have them on the show at 8:20. Being alone. Yeah, I think I might be the only one. Well, Scotty Jeter, him and I, big Nelson fans.
I just remember my brother having that record. Like, I remember what it looks like. I remember seeing the music video. I do not remember these songs at all.
I'm going to see if we can get my brother on the phone in a little bit, because okay. I think my brother was the one who turned me on to Nelson. I think he was the big Nelson fan.
Right.
And I think he'll flip out when he finds out we're going to be interviewing. Let's see if we can get him on the phone. 8:20, Gunnar Nelson. All right. Before the break, we were talking about Cal Penn.
Yeah.
And he's raised almost $1 million for Syrian refugees after a troll told him he didn't belong in the United States. And if you don't know who Cal Penn is, I mean, he's in Designated Survivor.
Yeah.
He was Kumar from Harold and Kumar. If you've, you know,
he was in 24.
He was in 24.
He was part of the Obama administration in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, some troll, internet troll, after it was something he posted on, was it Twitter? Something he,
yeah, he had a post on I believe Instagram, yeah, and one of the responses was, yeah, because you don't belong in this country, you bleeping joke, yeah.
Cal Penn decides I'm not gonna, you know, fire back and hate. No, I'm gonna make what is it? Crowd Rise? Is that what it is? Kind of like GoFundMe?
Yeah.
And it's donating to Syrian refugees in the name of the dude who said, I don't belong in America.
Yep. $761,000.
And climbing. Fast.
That's crazy. Somebody chimed in and said, okay, guys, here's some nice words since you're talking about messages. Great morning show.
I feel like they wanted to say something negative.
Oh, but they maybe chose to say something kind.
Thank you for that.
Great.
They don't like thank us. You. See, if you have something bad to say, this is the challenge today, guys. If you want to respond with hateful words, you want to be negative, do the opposite, man. Do the opposite. And that goes for me as well, because I can be the worst of the worst.
Well, Howard Schultz, the chairman, president, CEO of Starbucks, wanted to do something positive, wanted to do something kind. So he made an announcement this week, and it has backfired hard. Some Starbucks customers are actually threatening to boycott the coffee giant after its CEO took a stand against President Donald Trump's executive order barring immigrants from 7 majority Muslim countries from entering the United States. This last Sunday, Starbucks announced it's planning to hire 10,000 refugees worldwide in the next 5 years. Said, we're living in an unprecedented time, one in which we are witness to the conscience of our country, to the promise of the American dream, being called into question. That was the CEO, Howard Schultz. He wrote in a letter to Starbucks employees about the plan. Customers were supportive, some were, on social media, but many others immediately threatened boycott against Starbucks. One person immediately wrote, upon hearing your decision to hire 10,000 refugees, instead of Americans, I will no longer spend any money at Starbucks. Somebody else said, when Starbucks puts refugees before American safety, time for me to boycott Starbucks. Boycott Starbucks. So this is another one. We put Trump in the White House. We can put Starbucks out of business. I mean, that'll be interesting. Many people, though, lashed out against it, saying they were angry that Starbucks was choosing to hire refugees instead of Americans and instead of veterans. Starbucks, however, does have a program in place to support veterans and their families. They have hired 8,000 veterans and military spouses since 2014 in another initiative that they set out to do. So, I don't know where I stand on this, honestly, man. When they announced it, it was like, that's cool, man. They're going to do something. And then I thought about the fact that our unemployment rate is pretty terrible. And it's like, wait, are they going to create 10,000 new jobs specifically for refugees?
That's a good question.
How does something like that work?
Yeah, because here's my thought. I'm just thinking this out loud. Okay? So just remember that.
It's hard.
I know.
It's hard for him to think. So.
It is. Now, that's usually the response we see.
Boycott!
Boycott. We see, well, what about when we see a company or, you know, we see an organization helping other countries and not doing something here locally in our country? We see that every time, people usually firing back saying, well, what about us here? What about the unemployed here? What about the homeless here? I get that. I totally understand that. We should be doing something about that.
Yeah.
But the way I look at it, aren't we all living in the same... Well, we're all living here on Earth together.
This is the world we live in. Yeah, go ahead.
What was that? What was the Michael Jackson song, All the Stars Came Together?
We are the world.
We are the world.
Oh, gosh.
We are the future.
We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Yeah. Thank you.
You gotta learn words to songs, man.
That's how I kind of look at these situations. Again, I totally get that we should be doing stuff here locally. In fact, I would almost rather do something locally, like here in our city sometimes, than, you know, helping somebody across the ocean. You know, I mean, you kind of think, well, how can we make a difference here in our communities?
Yeah.
Because we're here. Why is it such a bad thing that they're wanting to do something for these people? These refugees are people that have lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost family members.
Yeah.
They've lost a child. I mean, it is... we have no idea what these people have gone through. That's just me throwing it out there. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Somebody chimed in on live and said, I've applied to Starbucks so many times, so I'm a little bit salty that they won't hire me. But at the same time, I'm privileged to live in this country, and therefore, I'll still support Starbucks.
Thank you. See? This is the situation. Here, Starbucks is doing something good,
but we have to
turn it negative somehow.
I'm not saying it's negative, but it's like it doesn't sound like, I don't know.
Where are these 10,000
jobs when it's like, dude, America, like, man, unemployment rate is terrible, and we need to do something about this. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. And it's like, man, refugees. And they're like, you know what? In response to Donald Trump, and that's what it is. In response to our president, Donald Trump, we're going to do this to retaliate. Like, that's what it is. The statement, he's making a statement saying, well, we're going to hire 10,000 refugees in the 75 countries that we have our stores.
Mm.
So somebody on the live line chimed in and said, it's because people tend to be annoyed by virtue signaling. If you don't know what virtue signaling is, it's the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know,
that's what Starbucks situation is.
That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
You're right.
Somebody else said, the sad thing is that most of the people that are boycotting will not go out of their way to help a homeless person or a vet or help someone else that needs a job. Man.
Here's one thing I will say. And this shocked me. When I got to be a part of the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, we got to go and spend the night there. And just, you know, I've been involved with the rescue mission for years. And I've seen them do incredible things. And I found out that Starbucks – At the end of the day, and there's other companies that do this. At the end of the day, if they have anything left over, as far as pastries,
yeah,
any food, they'll deliver those down to the rescue missions.
Yes, they do.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So they are doing things
they really
in
are.
Our community.
Yeah. Dude, when I was here part-time, when I first started in radio, my family needed insurance, but I was just part-time. They didn't offer that here. So I worked at Starbucks as well, where they offer benefits to part-time employees. They do some phenomenal things. I'm definitely not downing that. In any way, I just thought it was interesting that all of a sudden it's like the trending thing to do is just when somebody like President Obama or President Trump, he signs this executive order. People freaked out one way. And so then their response was, all right, well, we're going to hire 10,000 refugees. And then people freaked out. And then their response, well, we're going to boycott. It's like, there's this crazy, yeah. Like, we can't just hang out and be civil.
Why can't we look at that and go, that's great.
Yeah.
Look at Starbucks stepping up. They're going to help out some of these refugees that need money.
Yeah.
They've lost everything. Why can't we look at it that way? Instead, we have to find the agenda.
Yeah.
You know, and if Starbucks is using this as a way to make themselves look great and whatever, if they're doing something good for other people, I don't care if it's just one family.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine being a family that lost a loved one, that got just their home was completely destroyed. They have to flee because they're running for their lives. We don't know what that's like.
I'm not even going to pretend to know. So, yeah. No, I'm with you.
585 Live, you can text us, 585-5483.
There were some people that the movement people got behind, including Jessica Chastain, actress. She said, Starbucks plans to hire 10,000 refugees, hashtag buy Starbucks. Other people chimed in on both sides. Of course, everybody had to take a side. Everybody had to take a stand somewhere. I don't know. This isn't the first time there's been an online movement to boycott Starbucks. Back in November, a Twitter user encouraged followers to visit a Starbucks location and tell the employees their names are Trump in an effort to normalize Trump. When Starbucks introduced a green cup intended to promote unity in the week leading up to the election, social media users accused the coffee chain of political brainwashing. And tried to boycott then as well.
Mm.
I don't think the boycott's going to work.
Yeah.
It's the largest. Is it the largest in the world now? It's Starbucks.
Sure. Them and the Golden Arches.
There's literally one on every corner. And I mean every corner. Like you'll go into one and then you look across the street and you're like, man, look at that one. Like across the street.
Wow, another one.
It's not even like CVS and Walgreens where they just fight for the corner spot. Seriously. It's everywhere. So, yeah. I don't know if it's going to do any good.
Someone said on the live line, doing something nice is one thing. However, fake doing something nice just to be anti-Trump is ridiculous. Furthermore, people are people, and we should help people anywhere. However, we need to get our stuff together here in America first before we can explore out and help refugees.
Boom. Somebody said not every Starbucks gives their food away, by the way. I've sat in Starbucks at the end of the night and watched them throw the entire case of food away.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't know. That's what I was told. So I don't know if they all do that. Maybe the employee had no idea that they were supposed to take it down. I don't know.
Somebody said not only do we need to do something here first for our own country, but we shouldn't be taking able-bodied people from their own countries where their talents, efforts, and hard work are needed instead of taking people who are able to work from their countries, bringing them to our first world rut. We should be giving them the resources to make their native countries better.
Mm.
Man. Yeah, David Platt in a recent article on Christian response to refugee crisis. Quote, much of our response to the refugee crisis seems to come from a foundation of fear, not faith. Much of it seems to flow from a view of the world that is far more American than biblical, far more concerned with the preservation of our country than the accomplishment of the Great Commission, end quote.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's right on.
We talked about that yesterday. Carl Lentz was talking about that this last weekend from the pulpit at Hillsong NYC, talking about the American response versus the church response and how the church response always, always, always has to be love. So, yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Oh, so what do you do? How many refugees can you fit in your home?
Yeah, I got a pretty big home.
You do? So, that's what I'm saying.
You know, I think my kids could all share a room, and then so that leaves us with two extra rooms.
Nice. Good job.
So I don't know how many. I could probably fit a family of four or five in one bedroom. So 10. I could probably take in 10.
We're going to get on the internet. We're going to make this happen. I'm helping you help people, man.
I could take in 10 refugees.
Speaking of helping people, Starbucks, we got somebody on the live line chiming in saying Starbucks also provided all the drinks for the Roadrunner Food Bank Super Bowl this past weekend. So
see, that's cool.
And we're thankful for that.
Yep.
We just got to do something, man, locally. Got to get involved in our community and help out in some way. Because, again, I loved Cal Penn's response to the haters.
Mm-hmm.
Cup of haters. Okay, anyways.
Cup of haters?
Yeah. That's my sons could call in right now and do like this tag team in the WWE. They're just,
oh, man.
Yeah. Big Cass, Enzo Amore. Can we make people cry coming up with some Tom Brady?
Sure, yes.
That guy.
Remind me to get the clip.
Not everybody's favorite, so it's always interesting when Tom Brady all of a sudden has a heart.
Guys, our challenge for you today, our mission, is to respond in love. If you feel like you need to respond negatively...
I show love with kisses, so I'm just going to kiss everyone I see today.
I wouldn't
today.
Do that to, you know, the opposite
everyone.
Sex.
Everyone. Just kissing everyone. Okay. Come here.
Nope.
Come here, sexy man. You just love you.
Yeah. Put some chapstick on.
Okay. I have some right here. Some lavender lip balm.
Lips are dry.
Sorry.
Respond in love. And maybe don't respond at all if you feel like you have nothing good to say. Because we see it on Facebook. We see it on Twitter. So much hate right now. Respond in love. You know, maybe it's a coworker that is treating you unfairly or you're getting bullied. Well, how about you do something nice for him?
Coors and Paseo intersection, eastbound, nightmare. FYI. Thanks, Morgan, for sending that in.
585 Live, you can text the show. You can also call us, 338-3700. Hey, coming up, 820, Gunnar Nelson from Nelson. Ozzie and Harriet's grandson, Ricky Nelson's son, will be on the program at 820. We'll be right back. Mute Math, Chaos, Star 88, Dex and Steve-O.
Wait, that's us.
804.
Okay. High today of 58 degrees.
All right. Welcome to the program. 804.
High today of 58 degrees. Traffic! I just said the time, like... twice now. Let's see. It looks like there's road construction. The right lane is closed. Central Avenue West between Cedar and I-25. Slowing things down if you are heading north on I-25 before the big I. I-40 eastbound all the way back from Unser up to the big I. A little slow going there as well. And Paseo and Coors.
Yeah.
A little jammed. No accidents to report, but it's starting to back up there. That's your look at traffic.
Good news. Our phones are not working.
What?
I've called twice. Not ringing. First time I called, it hung up on me.
Did you call the right number?
Yeah, I called both of them.
Because didn't Buck call this morning?
No, they're not working now.
We've received a few phone calls this morning. That's weird, because... I've called.
Pick up
Hold
the phone?
On, let me answer the phone. Let's see who this is.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Welcome
to the program. Who's this?
Yeah, it's your co-host.
Who?
I'm literally two feet away from you.
No, he's right here. It's right next to me.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh.
Yeah, the phones are working.
Why do you sound like you're on the phone?
Because I'm on the phone.
Get out of here. Why didn't it work for me?
Man.
Oh, you know why?
Pudgy fingers?
I know. I have a Montana phone.
Uh-huh.
I didn't put in 505. Okay. Sorry, guys.
My bad. Sorry.
Oh, data.
Just say it.
No, I wasn't.
Just say it. You want to say it, don't you?
I mean, I don't want to say anything. We got to be careful with our words, my friends.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Let's change it up just a little bit for a second. This song right here. What's it famous for?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. One hit wonder. The band is Yellow. That's the name of the band. So the song's called Oh Yeah. Well, the guy who created this song, guess how much he made off of this song because it was featured on Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
$23.
No.
$147. Nope. Really bad at this. $80,000.
Nope. $175 million.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry.
The guy.
What?
The guy responsible for this song is it Dieter Meier? Dieter Meier.
Okay,
that's his name. Yeah, he wrote this song for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Apparently, because it's been featured in so many movies after Ferris Bueller's Day Off, it was featured in TV shows, commercials since it came out in 1985. You get royalties. There's a thing called royalties. $175 million. Now, he did invest a lot of that money that he got from the royalties. That's why he's now $175 million richer, because of the investments he's made.
But unreal.
Yeah. Beautiful. Here's another strange fact about this guy. He's never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
How can you live?
Quote, I've never saw the whole film. I think once I saw this one famous scene when the guy, I think he opens the garage for his father's Ferrari.
Oh my god.
The guy's made $175 million off of this movie. Because of this movie, he's never seen it.
Amazing.
Why are people so weird? Is that weird?
You're calling a dude weird because he didn't see a movie in the 80s.
Okay, if you had
his song in it.
If you made $175 million because of this movie. Also, let's just get rid of the money for a second. You created a song. You're the guy responsible for this movie. Wouldn't you want to know what the movie was about? Wouldn't you want to see it if you're, you know, wouldn't you want to, like, hear your song in the movie?
That's true.
That's weird.
$175 million, I feel like he's got time on his hands to just take a couple hours and chill and watch a movie.
You're never seen it. The film came out in 1985. He's never seen it.
Yeah.
My mind is blown right now.
I'm trying to think of like epic films you haven't seen so that I could fire back and say, yeah, but you haven't seen.
I've seen everything. You, on the other hand, haven't seen a lot of things that I was pretty shocked and surprised. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but.
I haven't seen that Vin Diesel movie where he's the nanny. I know you
Pacifier?
Love it. Okay. Wow.
Not a fan of that movie either, really.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, it was all right.
Still haven't seen the latest Fast and the Furious movie.
What?
Was it Fast 19?
Fast 7.
Yeah. No, is that the last one?
Yeah, I think 7 was the last one, wasn't it?
The one where Paul Walker died.
Yeah.
Like, he's already dead.
I think
so
that was 7.
Like, change some stuff up. I just haven't seen it.
Huh.
But I know you love Vin Diesel.
Those are great movies.
But I don't have any... I don't have any songs in that movie, so.
Okay.
Cool story, man.
Cool story, bro. Cool story.
$175 million. My mind is blown.
Now, this is another weird thing. I'm a Nick Cage fan.
Okay. You really need to stop confessing stupid things.
I love Nicolas Cage.
I do, too, sometimes.
The Alamo Drafthouse Theater in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
They had their annual Nicolas Cage Film Festival called Caged.
Oh.
This year's went down Sunday night. They're calling it the biggest Caged ever. Because they've done this 4 years in a row, and Nick Cage has never showed up until this one.
Yes, dude.
He finally showed up.
Wow.
He even picked this year's movies, which were Bangkok Dangerous, Joe, Bringing Out the Dead, Army of One, and Lord of War.
Wow.
And he got to witness a marriage proposal, and he treated the crowd to a reading of Edgar Allan Poe's The Tell-Tale Heart.
But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die, and now again, hark! Louder, 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 louder! Villains! I shrieked! Dissemble no more! I admit the deed!
Got the chill.
Tear up the planks! Here! Here! It is the beating of this hideous heart!
Yeah! I feel like they would cheer no matter what he said, but this was the fourth Caged, but you know, he never made it to any
so
until now.
It's just a film festival where they play terrible Nick Cage movies?
Take it back right now. Lord of War is one of the greatest movies of all time.
I've never seen it.
What?
I'm sorry.
You've never seen Lord of War?
Your face, man. You're so mad.
Gone in 60 seconds?
Yes, I'm gone in 60 seconds.
Army of One?
Mm-mm. No, what's Army of One? I've never even heard of Army of One.
National Treasure?
Yeah, it's on National. I have kids. It's on National
One
Treasure.
One and two?
Nope, just one.
Okay.
I couldn't do it again. I was like, really? What are they going to do this time? They're going to steal the Alamo.
Mm.
I'd rather go to like a Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, you would.
We're going to be watching Point Break and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We'll also be watching The Matrix.
Is Keanu Reeves still in that band? It was like Dog Fight.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Yeah, I don't remember. Fart or something? I think it was something like that.
I don't like you anymore.
It was like Dog Fart.
I love that dude. They're called Dog Star.
That was close.
That band was around from 1991 to 2002, in case you're wondering. They haven't been a band for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, you're old. You just referenced a band that disbanded after 11 years in 2002.
Gosh. Okay, let's listen to this acting again from Nicolas Cage. Just so right on. Just listen to the inflection in his voice.
The critical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die, and now again, hark! Louder, louder, louder!
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, bro.
I'd definitely go to that. Caged? I'm booking my tickets for next year.
I want to go to Reeves.
The topic is, what's your favorite Nick Cage movie?
No, it is not. But it's Con Air. Definitely Con Air.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And if somebody texts in Left Behind, hang up on yourself.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? The live line has blown up. Dude, somebody chimed in and said, sweet billboard. Let me know if you want pictures done. We'll take shots with the drone.
Nice.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be cool. Yeah, if you get some shots of the drone, that'd be cool.
Oh, man.
Family Man was good. Good call. That one made me cry.
Ugh.
You didn't like Family Man? You never saw it.
I saw it.
You did?
I thought it was a cheap version of It's a Wonderful Life and not nearly as good. Somebody else on the live line chimed in and said, be excellent to each other. Yes! I'd take Keanu over Nick any day of the week, my friend. Sorry.
You know what? I would too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about The Rock? You didn't even mention The Rock.
What about him?
No. The Rock. The
Rock. I was going, wait, what? What does The Rock have to do with this?
No, dude, Nick Cage movies.
Yeah, The Rock was good.
It was his best.
Mm-hmm. Sean Connery?
That was terrible. Although Leaving Las Vegas probably was truly his best. That was a phenomenal
best
film
work, but probably most depressing movie you'll ever watch in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But just the acting was so good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Moving on.
Moving on. I was thinking at the time we had his brother, Nicolas Cage's brother, on our show years ago. And he sounded just like his brother. Definitely wasn't as handsome as Nick Cage.
Why don't we always interview the brothers?
I don't know.
Frank Stallone on the show.
You could definitely tell, though, that it was hard for him to be Nick Cage's brother.
I mean,
it'd be tough.
Because your brother's famous or what?
Yeah. Your brother's famous. It sounded like he kind of wanted to, he was trying to do the acting thing, and it just never really took off for him. I don't know. He was a nice guy, really nice guy, but, I don't know why I told you that story.
I don't either.
Just made me think of Nick Cage. That's the closest I've ever been to Nick Cage is his brother.
Making me feel weird.
I know. Coming up here in just a few minutes from this band right here, Nelson.
Watches the weather tis.
Gunnar Nelson calling in. He is the grandson of Ozzy and Harriet and Ricky Nelson's son. He's half of Nelson, which this band came out, what, you said 1990? This is when that
released.
They dropped this?
No clue.
Yeah.
That was 27 years ago.
This was definitely this was
Dex,
a huge
that was
pop
27
hit.
Years ago, man.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh How my gosh, you? Carl,
it worked.
Yes.
We were rocking out to Nelson right now, and Steve-O's never even heard these songs before.
Well, you know, he's probably heard Ricky Nelson.
Love Lonesome Town. That is like the song. So yes,
yeah.
Of course, yeah, I know who knows.
It's amazing. They've had hits, number one hits in their family for 100 years consecutively.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, we're just talking about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad your phones are working again. I was a little afraid.
Too. Sorry about that,
Carl. I'm still sad that we got a tiny, tiny Kurt Angle.
But thanks for squeezing us in, man.
I'm so glad.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. I want to make sure everyone had a chance to talk to him.
Appreciate you, buddy.
He was great.
All right, here we go.
All right. Gunnar Nelson.
All right, Gunnar. Got two big fans ready to talk to you.
All righty.
Dex and Steve-O.
Gunnar Nelson, good morning.
Good morning. Now, is this Dex or is it Steve-O?
This
is Dex.
And I'm Steve-O.
If he could understand that, I don't know.
Yeah.
How are you guys? Doing good. How about you? Good.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. We were just rocking out. I put together a montage of...
Nice.
Some of your hits from 1990.
A montage. I didn't know you spoke French. Very nice.
A montage. I like to say montage. Yes.
Yeah.
And it just immediately just took me back, you know, because I'm 37 years old. So when those came out, I was, you know, I was in eighth grade probably. You know, I was going through puberty.
That's good age.
So, man, it brought back the memories. What is life like for Gunnar Nelson now? What do you do? You're still doing music, of course.
Of course, yeah. No, we're out doing about 100 dates a year, so we still tour quite a bit. But I'm also a family man, too. I'm happily married. I've got three beautiful daughters, so I juggle my work life with my home life. I feel pretty balanced.
You being the family man, of course, all of us, you know, most of us grew up with Ozzy and Harriet. Is that what your family's like? Is that what it's like?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, that was what family was like in the 50s.
Right?
Ozzy and Harriet really was a real family playing a real family on TV. Ozzy wrote, produced, directed, edited, and starred in all 435 of those episodes. And I don't think he could have done that for that long a period of time had he not pulled from real life experiences, which is what he did. But each generation of Nelson has really done what's appropriate for their time. I mean, our grandpa had a big band in the 30s and had a number one with his stuff. Our dad had some number ones with Hello Mary Lou and Traveling Man in the 50s. Matt and I did our stuff. But I mean, now family, what's really different about family now, family's really what you choose. Family's really what you make of it. It's not necessarily what you're born into. I mean, everybody's family is really their friends, and sometimes their relatives and their friends and all that stuff. So it's really taken on a very different shape. And for me, I'm really blessed. I've been married for 2 years, and I got to inherit three beautiful daughters. So for me, my family was kind of given to me at a time in my life when I felt like I kind of lived selfishly, and I got to be 45 and thought that wasn't going to be happening to me, but it did. So it's wonderful. I'm kind of rolling with it right now.
That's cool.
Yes, dude. This is all what I want to say. Growing up for me, man, we had a Wurlitzer jukebox, so music was super important for my family. And I'll tell you what, to this day, Lonesome Town is still, I think, one of the greatest songs of all time, which wasn't I still can't believe it wasn't a number one hit. But so your dad wrote that song, and it was a song that when I was little, that was one that I just always wanted to play on the Wurlitzer. So you have generations of just success and incredible musicianship and or, acting prowess, if you will. So for you now, as a father, you know, we're both fathers in here. I got three boys. Dexter has three kiddos as well. Juggling work life and kid life and, I guess, celebrity culture, if you will, do you find it a little easier to navigate those waters because it's something that's just been a part of your family for so long?
Well, I mean, everything's really different. Obviously, the first success that I had when I was 22 with that first record was an ego-driven success. It was all about being this success for success's sake, being a star, making lots of money, going number one, all that stuff. It was really driven from ego. When you become a parent, everything changes, no matter who you are and what you do. If you're a pop, all of a sudden you become a hunter who's going out and killing things and dragging it home.
Mm.
Different. You have a brand new sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And I think, I know from my own experience, it's made my songwriting better. I'm writing better songs than I've ever written, and it makes the one thing that's different for the first time in my life, I actually kind of want to come home just as much as I want to tour. And finding that balance is really nice. You know, it's a very different sort of success when, you know, we had a top 10 per se, let's say, this last Christmas season, we released a Christmas single with Carney and Wendy Wilson, and that did pretty well, which was great. But, you know, feeling your family behind that when you're actually going out filming videos and touring to support it and stuff, it feels a lot better than it did 25 years ago, let's say.
Mm. Did you make them bust out Hold On, like, ever? Did you just be hey, girls, can we just rock Hold On, because that's still a jam?
Come on, absolutely. Mm. And I got to pretend to be China Phillips.
Yes!
There was just Barney and Wendy, so it worked out fine. They're great girls. They're really, 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 really talented, and it's a really great blend. It kind of, when Matt and I sing with the two of them, it kind of sounds like the Mamas and the Papas. It's really kind of a neat blend.
Dude, phenomenal. So you're just rocking some Monday, or... I'm telling
you. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The girls, actually, I mean, think about it. If you were to pick two people that would know what Matthew and I felt like growing up in our own household as much as those two, I mean, they grew up in a house with Brian Wilson, you know, doing putting the Beach Boys together. That's incredible.
Right. Yeah.
And we've known the girls since they were babies, and it's just been a really great friendship. But it was the first opportunity that we all got to get to work together on music. And I know it took a long, long time to do, but I'm really grateful that we got a chance to do it and that it worked as well as it did.
We're talking with Gunnar Nelson. Now, growing up with, you know, a very famous family, you probably have some incredible stories. Hmm. Off the top of your head, can you share one that you think about a lot that would be pretty cool to share with the audience?
Sure, yeah, I've got a lot. I mean, it's for me, again, I hate to use the pun, but it was all relative. It was my normal growing up.
Right.
With Harrison being my next-door neighbor. He was Uncle George. George Harrison would just stop by and, you know, hang out with my dad and listen to the James Burton records and stuff. Wow. And Mama Cass Elliott was my babysitter. Bob Dylan was over the house all the time. I mean, that was just normal.
Yeah. Right.
And for me, I didn't really know any different. And I mean, I've got all kinds of stories. I really do. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad was doing double bills in Vegas at the time with Jerry Lee Lewis. And he used to, I mean, this is obviously before cell phones and stuff. There were two ways to come from the stage to go back up to your hotel room. One was through the kitchen. One was through the lobby. Fortunately, my father had twins. And he got to send us down, and we would scout which way Jerry Lee was coming back to his hotel rooms because Jerry would always open up the show.
Yeah.
And my dad would, we would report back to my dad. We'd say, no, he's coming back through the kitchen tonight. And my dad would then go to the stage through the lobby. And that's, I remember being a spy for my dad to find out where Jerry Lee Lewis was actually going to be traveling. So my dad would not get in, not get cornered by Jerry Lee.
Man.
That's great,
that
man.
That is phenomenal. Dude, I gotta say, you know, you mentioned something as being a father and how it changes everything. For me, I mean, I think we can all definitely cling to that because growing up for me, you know, my dad passed away when I was actually quite young, so I never knew what it meant to have a father, to be a father, what's that look like. And then when I became a Christian, it was like, all right, God opened me up to like, hey, this is the way you treat human beings. This is, you know, this is the love that I have for you and something you pass on. So obviously you have this phenomenal, history with your family. Now, as you mentioned, celebrity being a relative thing and it's just kind of your everyday. So for your children now, as a father, what are some of these lessons that you're hoping they grab onto or what are some things you're hoping to train them up in?
Well, there's so many, but I think especially as my 16-year-old is kind of developing into, she wants to figure out what her calling is.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm trying to impart into them is that, you know, just be happy with whatever it is you do. I mean, our grandparents had a great expression. Grandpa Ozzie said, doing what you love to do for a living and getting paid for it on top of it is like having a license to steal.
Mm.
So at the age that they're at, I mean, for me, look, I never knew the when or the how, but I always knew the what.
Yeah.
And I always felt really blessed to have a true north in my compass as far as my career is concerned. I always knew that I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's not a lot of certainty in that as far as the when or the how, but just always having that in my back pocket, knowing, look, I was born to make music and I was born to communicate through the music. It really was sometimes the only thing that I could really rely on as far as my career path was concerned. And I try to tell that to the girls, look, the number one thing that you want, be a good person and do what you love to do. And that kind of leads to happiness.
Dude,
I love that.
I'm sure as parents, that's what you want them to.
Right? Amen. Yeah. When your kids can discover what God has created them for, like, obviously, I mean, for you, you were saying music. I mean, that was just like ingrained. So you were gifted these phenomenal talents and abilities. And when your kids can discover those things, it's an amazing thing. Gunnar, thank you so much.
Yeah,
man.
You're amazing.
Yeah.
And
well, so are you. Hey, guys, you grabbed the brass ring and you've got the balance too. And you definitely have your heads and your hearts on straight. So hats off to you. And thank you for giving our family the greatest job in the world for the last 100 years. I really appreciate
Beautiful.
It.
Amen. Right on, man.
Gunnar Nelson. Thank you so much, man. Hopefully we see you come through Albuquerque sometime soon.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Would love to. We'll see you on tour, guys.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yeah!
Are you so stoked?
Love. Can't live without your love.
Gunnar Nelson. Half of Nelson.
I just couldn't imagine. That's your normalcy,
that's
right?
Your normalcy.
Like, there's no celebrity in it. It's like my grandparents are Ozzie and Harriet.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad's Ricky Nelson.
Ricky Nelson. Think about that.
Dude.
His dad was Ricky Nelson.
Oh, dude.
Trying to wrap my head around it. Ozzie and Harriet. I remember watching Ozzie and Harriet when I was just a little child and thinking, man, that is the beautiful picture of a family.
I would have loved, you know, obviously with interviews we only get a certain amount of time, but it'd be interesting to talk about what real life was like, because obviously you see grandma and grandpa on the screen and it's like this perfect family picture. And I'm sure, I mean, Ricky Nelson died in the 80s, unfortunately. So Gunnar's dad, what it would have been like being the son and growing up, seeing your parents on the big screen or, you know, on television as this picture perfect family. And I'm sure in real life, you know, the closest I can equate it to is, you know, friends who are PKs, like pastor's kids, and your dad's like the pastor, you know, and on Sundays it's like preaching and proclaiming. And then, you know, he's still a human being. And so I'm sure there are times.
Yeah, I'm sure. Everything I've ever heard about Ozzie and Harriet,
yeah,
that they were, I mean, like he said, that's the way they lived in the 50s. I mean, they were a normal,
just good family. And but yeah, we all have skeletons in our closet. You know, we're all sinners.
Skeletons.
That'd be a good question, though.
Yeah, we ran out of time. He was also on He was on Wife Swap with Vince Neil. Like him and Vince Neil.
Oh my gosh! I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm gonna have to YouTube
I know. I was gonna say. I know you love celebrity wife swaps, you weirdo.
I do.
Gosh,
It's pretty good. If you missed it, Gunnar Nelson was just on the show. Half of Nelson. Hit the podcast. It'll be up after the show. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the grossest food that people love in every state. What's the grossest food that people love in New Mexico? You said chili relleno.
Well, I don't think it's disgusting, but I think outside of our culture, people would be like, you do what? Yeah. That's disgusting.
All right, we'll find out what that is when we come back.
Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the Cardinals have to pay the Houston Astros $2 million within the next month and give the Astros the Cards' top two picks in the 2017 draft. Last year, former St. Louis scouting director Christopher Correa pleaded guilty to illegally breaking into Houston's confidential player databases.
The White House defends President Trump's order suspending immigration from seven nations with Muslim majorities.
This is about the safety of America, and there's a reason that the majority of Americans agree with the president. It's because they understand that that's his number one priority.
Spokesman Sean Spicer says the president is taking common sense steps and that it's not about religion, but opponents call it discrimination.
We are a nation founded by the descendants of asylum seekers.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer trying to block the order in Congress. He also leads a rally at the Supreme Court.
Three of the biggest makers of insulin products to treat diabetes are being sued in a class action lawsuit.
Two U.S. officials tell us Iran secretly conducted a new ballistic missile test launch at a launch site outside Simnan, Iran, about 140 miles east of Tehran.
Hello. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Dex and Steve-O, 839.
High today of 58 degrees. Well, let's see. Manal Boulevard West between Edith and Broadway. There's some road construction. The right lane is closed. There's a serious accident. Coors Boulevard South at Fortuna. One lane is reopened now. Two lanes are open northbound, but they're asking you to use UNSR if you can, as they are in the cleanup stages there. That is your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B. BearCanyonCrossFit.com or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
We just got off the phone with Gunnar Nelson.
So great.
Half of Nelson.
And yet somebody chimed in and said the EAS went out. That's good.
Yeah. Gunnar Nelson was Ricky Nelson's son. The grandson of Ozzy and Harriet. Incredible story.
Dude, Mama Cass from The Mamas and the Papas was his babysitter. He learned to play guitar from Bob Dylan.
Yeah, just shared some great stories. And I loved what he said about the advice that he got. You know, if you're blessed and lucky enough to do what you love, it's like stealing.
Yeah,
and honestly,
getting paid to do what you love.
Most of my radio career, you know, because I've been so fortunate when
I've stolen things.
I've stolen things. It honestly felt like canned for goods. So many years. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Now that's the way it is.
from the food pantry.
But when, because I, right out of high school, I found radio and I just immediately fell in love with it.
Yep.
And so from the time I started in radio, whenever I got a paycheck, I almost felt like I was stealing. And it took a lot of years for me to kind of get over that.
Little did you know, in 2017, you'd still be doing radio and be forced into stealing because of how little you make.
So true.
It really is a labor of love. People look at it and they go, dude, you're on a billboard. Mm. Oh, glamorous life. And you're like, that literally put zero food on my family's table.
Well, not zero
it's
food.
Kind of cool.
I mean it definitely gets us by, kind of.
Well, that's because God always provides.
Exactly.
And I think that's it. Like, as Gunnar was talking about your calling, when you know what you're called to do, it's like, this is way more than just a job or a career. This is a calling. It's something that we do because God has put us here for a time and a purpose and given us certain gifts and talents and abilities. Mm. I'm really good at being an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for radio.
Yeah.
So something else interesting, Thebes chimed in to let us know that Gunner's mom is Mark Harmon's older sister.
Come on.
So his uncle's Mark Harmon.
That's really cool.
It's pretty hilarious. So much celebrity, quote unquote celebrity, wow, going through that family. But yeah.
Guys, if you're fortunate, if you're working a job right now that you just love, you know, my dad, he gave me this advice when I was early on in my radio career because it was about 3 years into doing radio and I was making $6 an hour. And I worked with a lot of people that were really frustrated because they thought that they deserved more money, but they'd been there for years. And,
yeah,
you know, they were just burnt out because they felt like they were worth more. And I remember telling my dad and my parents how I was frustrated because, you know, I was making $6 an hour. That was tough. And my dad said, you know, asked me, are you going to go to college? And I said, no, I don't want to go to college. I want to do radio the rest of my life.
Don't tell people that now.
Well, this is a different situation.
I mean, I'm just kidding.
I was in my career. This was what I wanted to do. I knew it from the time I stepped into that radio building. I knew this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And my dad said, you're basically getting paid to go to college right now. You're getting paid $6 an hour. You're not taking out student loans.
Yeah.
That you have to pay back. Because if I was to go to college for radio, I mean, I wouldn't get the same. I mean, I was like hands on. I was in it. I was kicking off my radio career, getting paid $6 an hour. And he's like, you got to look at the next, you know, maybe even year because you've been doing it for 3 years. Look at the next year. Like you're getting paid a four years of learning this trade, even if it is $6 an hour. And it turned everything around for me after that. I mean, my whole outlook changed. Maybe you're in that situation right now where you're at a job and you just feel like, you know, you're worth more. You know, maybe you are. Maybe you are worth more. But you know what? Hang in there. Because you know what? The money will come eventually. It can. I mean, I was so fortunate for many years to make a very good living doing what I love. And even though I'm not making as much as I used to, I still love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you can't trade that for anything.
No.
You know, you really can't because I wouldn't trade it for a job, even if I was making more money. If I was working a job I hated, I there's no way. So just really remember, if you love what you're doing, hold on to it, man.
Hold on for one more day.
I can't live without your love.
No, I was doing Hold On by Wilson Phillips.
Baby.
Nope.
I know that there's pain, but you hold on for one more day and you break free from the chain.
Yeah. You went like in a weird key and then I just couldn't follow. That was weird.
You gotta follow my lead, man.
I couldn't.
Stepping on my toes.
Speaking of, I want to follow the 7-year-old boy's lead when it comes to interview skills because ooh, I have a story of stories.
Talk to me.
You know, this Sunday is the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, Thursday and Friday, Super Blow is back. We predict, and this is 100% accurate, no joke.
Yeah.
For years, I have been putting eggs in microwaves and blowing them up, and we predict the Super Bowl. We'll do it on Thursday and Friday.
Can we try and predict, like, the Super Bowl MVP as well?
I've never done that.
Yeah, we'll write, like, Matt Ryan or Tom Brady or...
Okay.
I mean, why not?
All right. How many MVPs could there be?
There's only one, but it's every player on the team. So we're going to have to do about 70 eggs.
Okay. We'll throw away the microwave when we're done. Because I'm not cleaning it.
Well, the New England Patriots are about to face off against the Atlanta Falcons. And unless you're a Patriots fan, most of America hates the Patriots.
Yeah.
They are a hated team. In fact, last night we were hanging out, Steven. Remember yesterday how he called us and he was like, hey, we're hanging out tonight. And you were like, I'm coming. And we all went and hung out. Joe Hawk was there.
Yeah, that was great.
Stefan Christian and I was there. And you
I have a thing called Life, okay?
My buddy Jay showed up.
I happened to be at Walmart at that time and cool, my card didn't work after we had shopped for an hour. It was great. That's my life, guys.
Your card, duh. Not your car. Your card.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it sounded like
card. Card.
No, I wanted them to know the frustrations of shopping for groceries only to be declined. So I wanted to make sure people knew happened to you.
There it
last
is.
Night.
It's great.
Well, we were talking last night about Tom Brady being probably the greatest football player of all time. I mean, let's be honest. But because of that, he's very polarizing. No way, dude. Tom Brady.
John Elway.
No, dude. Tom Brady.
Ripken.
Okay. You need to leave. Loved or hated, it seems like Tom Brady may have a soul. The New England Patriots quarterback and definite future Hall of Famer was fielding questions yesterday. It was media day. And of course, you know, he's friends with President Trump. So there were Trump questions. There were stupid questions like his hot tub habits.
What?
But it's media day and Tom Brady was having fun. He was smiling. He's just whatever, enjoying it. And that all changed when a 7-year-old boy asked him a question. You see, his name is Joseph Perez. He lives in Paris, California. He collects trading cards. He won a Panini Super Bowl Kid Reporter contest.
Wow.
So he was allowed to ask one question of Tom Brady.
No way.
Dude, yeah. So here's the thing. I guess he to win, he's a huge Cowboys fan, not even a Patriots fan, specifically loves Troy Aikman. So in his audition video, he posed a stuffed animal as Dak Prescott and asked him a question and then said, "Man, I love you."
No way.
Because he loves Dak Prescott. Well, he won the right to ask Tom Brady one question. His question was this: many people think you're their hero, but who is your hero?
Ooh.
He said, "I think my dad is my hero."
Oh, is this the clip?
"Because he's someone I look up to every day.
And, you know, I'm a dad, and,
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Holding back the tears.
I just don't know how I'm going to get shot. But if I go really too far like that,
he's still crying.
Yeah, guys, he's Tom Brady can't even talk because he just wants to cry.
He pulled the mic away.
So hopefully he's here and cheering his songs.
What did you take away from your relationship with your dad that you instill in your kids?
Well, he was just a great example for me, and he was always someone that supported, you know, me and everything that I did, and to come home at night and to, you know, bring me out and hit me ground balls and fly balls and you know, I mean, I love baseball growing up.
You would think this day and age that the audio would sound a little bit better, Yahoo. I'm just saying.
And, you know, to have a chance to go to 49er games on the weekend with him and my mom and throw the ball in the parking lot at the games, I mean, those are memories that I'll have forever. So, you know, you want to try to instill those in your kids, too. And, you know, my kids will have a different experience, but I'll still try to, you know, do the best I can do to, you know, raise them the right way.
I love that, man. 7-year-old got to ask him that question.
What a solid question. Many people think you're their hero, but who is your hero?
And it just choked him up.
Dude, it was amazing because Tom Brady's being playful with the reporters and he's having fun. And then this kid, he's on Trent Dilfer's shoulder so that he could even see and asks his question. And his everything changed in that moment.
He buckled, man.
He did. He said, "I think my dad is my hero because he's someone I look up to every day." And then completely choked up. He started to try and continue with, you know, "I'm a dad." And then he cried. Joseph later said, "My question made him cry." Like he was so excited.
I made Tom Brady cry.
He felt like it was great. You know, like it was the solid moment. And like I said, he's not a Patriots fan. He turns 8 next week. But what a solid birthday present to ask Tom Brady a question. And I got to tell you, man, I'm definitely not a Tom Brady fan, but you got to respect him. He's He is the greatest quarterback of all time. I really believe that.
He's pretty good.
And it's just this paternal, like we have this really rad, club called fatherhood. Mm. And when you see a father passionately care about their children, it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Right there. Love that. So, good job, Tom Brady. Turns out Beautiful. You have a soul. I had no idea. Beautiful. I had no idea. So, yeah. Tom Brady's got a soul.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, no.
Who's your hero?
Oh, man. Do I really have to answer this yes. with the stupid music going on in the background? Who is my hero? My mom.
Oof.
My mom. That would be my answer.
Wow.
Because my dad died when I was 6 years old. And my mom, man, she was a stay-at-home mom with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old. She lost her best friend. She lost her husband. She lost the man who was providing everything. And so she had to give up being a stay-at-home mom to go back to work as an air traffic controller with crazy hours. She worked nights at times. She worked so many hours. She moved us back to New Mexico so we could be close to my grandmother so that they could help, because she was so busy working so hard to make sure that we didn't miss out on anything, even though we didn't have my father. So my hero is my mom.
Why did I ask you that question? I'm okay. I'm all right.
You wanted a real answer. That's my every year on... Turn that music back up.
Oh, sorry. Wrong button.
Just turn it up. Every year for Mother's Day and Father's Day, she got a card. She didn't just get a Mother's Day card. She got a Father's Day card every year.
Wow.
Because she was my mother. She was my father. She was my everything. She raised me up to fear and love the Lord. And I blew it all the time. But she was patient and loving and merciful and graceful and compassionate and showed me what the love of a parent should be like. She wasn't perfect. She made mistakes. But man.
Do you want me to isolate this audio for Mother's Day?
Turn.
I feel like we could.
If you interrupt me one more time, I swear I'm not.
I bet.
My mother's my hero. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day 2014.
No, this is actual audio from 2014 that I just actually just replayed. That was Steve-O in 2014.
Somebody chimed in a live line and just said, "Nuh-uh, Steve-O's hero is John Cena." Turn that music back up.
Okay.
My hero is John Cena.
Nuh-uh.
He has more Make-A-Wish grants than any other celebrity, actor, sports star, anyone in human history. He's the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He's the 16-time world champion.
I guess he is.
One time I was in the crowd at a WWE event and he saw me and he came over and he took his shirt off. And he gave it
to me. In front of you?
Yeah.
Like, just took it off?
Like, I have his shirt.
Wow.
It's kind of weird when I tell the story that way.
It sounds really
he
weird.
He saw me and he took his shirt off. And he gave me his clothes.
John Cena.
I really have his shirt.
Why would he give it to you and not some kid?
I mean, I don't know.
Huh. Did he throw it and you caught it? Or did he actually
hand
it to you?
I had a really stupid grin on my face. Maybe I... maybe he thought he was granting another wish.
Because you're so skinny, I'm going to shut up. If, you know...
Oh, man, Wisconsin just chimed in and said, "Thanks for making me cry at work, butternuts."
Oh, gosh. We did a story this morning about a girl who got her Make-A-Wish granted, and it was to tase somebody. That was her wish.
Unreal.
She wanted to tase somebody, and she did it. She got to tase two people. She got to tase a police officer and her uncle. And I'm thinking... I hope someday some kid says, "I want to tase John Cena." John Cena would do it.
John Cena would not. Maybe he would.
He'd get tased. You know he would.
Huge fan of John Cena.
Me too, man.
Somebody just chimed in and said, "Man, I was really hoping Steve-O was going to say Buck." Turn that music back.
No, I'm not going to do it. No.
Dex, let me ask you a question. Many people would say that you are their hero, but who is your hero?
You can't ask me the same question.
What are you talking about?
And we're up on a break. I don't have time.
But you asked me the question. Is it because you don't have a hero?
My hero. When I look back on my life, I see the struggles that I have faced. There's one man that helps me through the trials, through the struggles. His name is Vin Diesel.
Oh, okay.
When I watch his movies, I'm inspired to do great things. Like the time in the Chronicles of Riddick when he took down those space thieves. Or the time in XXX where he took out Russian mafia. That's my hero. That's all.
Is it weird that your hero is Vin Diesel and mine is really Keanu Reeves, and the Fast and the Furious only exists because it was like a remake of Point Break?
You know what? Yes.
That's cool.
Okay. A Quality Tam Tuesday, I think, is coming up next. The Afters, Shadows, Star 88. Like, thank everybody, man, for being a part of Phil Collins Day.
There were people on Facebook yesterday going, "Phil, what is Phil Collins Day?"
It was funny. I was when I was working out last night, we were doing back squats, and Amy, she was there, our coach, and she came over, and I'm like, "You know what today is, Amy?" She goes, "What?" I go, "Phil Collins Day."
Mm.
And she goes, "Who?"
Oh no!
And I said, "Phil Collins." She's like, "Oh, I know Phil Collins. Yes, she knows Phil Collins."
We need to remedy that quick at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I wanted to ask if she'd throw some Phil Collins on, but, you know, kind of feel like if she, you know, catch the hint that I wanted Phil Collins, and she probably wouldn't have put Phil and Collins on, you know. And you know!
Nope. Still not the right place.
Gets me every time, man. Every time.
They do verse one, and then they do verse two, bro.
I'm not a musician, okay? I've never claimed to be a musician. Except that one time when I had a rap career.
Okay.
A little awkward. Gonna see, I'm sorry. By the way, I've been working on our rap song.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm excited.
I've polished it up a little bit.
Okay. It's so funny what the power of music. Friday, I was working out alone again because you are the worst workout buddy on the planet.
Sorry, man. My first wife comes first.
Literally the worst workout buddy on the planet.
Sorry, man.
Because you're like, I'm gonna go get my clothes. We'll see you there. I'm like, yeah,
that's
I'm excited.
The plan.
Friday, I worked out alone, and it was like, I can't finish. It was a really tough workout Friday, and I was getting close. I think I only had like two more rounds, but I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do this. I was taking breaks and. And all of a sudden, I have no idea why, because they weren't even playing like 80s music. All of a sudden, Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams hit. And I blew through the last two rounds like a champion.
Beautiful, man.
Dude. Thought of our boy Teo rocking some karaoke, and I'm like, this is for you, buddy.
This one's for you, bro.
And I did it.
Those were the best days of my life.
Oh, cool.
Steve-O, you awesome.
Oh, snap. Oh, I had no idea.
Steve-O, you awesome.
Thank you, Teo.
That's great. He lives on through the computer.
Speaking, yo, Gabba Gabba.
Speaking of people living on through the computer, do you have any sound bites of Tam? Like, particularly ones that are telling us that she's actually leading worship at Hope this morning, so she won't be here till like 9:30. Do you have that clip? Probably not, because she never told us. Okay, good.
Okay.
Just got an update. She's on her way in. Listen.
Okay.
I want to talk to you, Teo. Okay? Just you specifically. You don't have to always say you're going to do something and then not do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're not going to be able to make it, you can say you're not going to be able to make it.
Okay.
Okay? So, like, you know, at times where you're like, I'm going to go to the gym with you, or we're going to go to the movies, or I'm going to come out with you on Monday night because I'm going to say I'm going to do it. Hey, man, if you think you're too busy, just say you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Teo.
Hey, that's cool, y'all.
He's here, guys. He's here.
He sounds a little... Did he, like, purposely just throw on the drawl hard?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Teo. Miss you,
buddy.
You
sure did. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure did. Something in scripture that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, Dexter, I mean, Teo, you don't have to always say you're going to be at everything. Mm-hmm. You can say, you know what, man? Not going to make it. I'm sorry. I'll be
he
like...
He said, go west, young man. And we were like, hey, we're heading towards a carotid artery, bro.
That one made no sense to our conversation.
That's a stabbing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
A man tried faking a urine test with a tube full of warm Mountain Dew. That man's name, Steve-O Jeter.
You're so funny, Teo.
Where did you get these?
Oh, man, I've been collecting them.
Yeah, slightly.
Mm.
I'm going to need you to control your language, Dex.
Sorry.
Don't run around saying, heck. Good night, Chicago.
So good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I am the Barry Goldberg. I am the Barry Goldberg of this show.
Wow. You sound like him, that's for sure.
Wow. I am the greatest of all time.
Wow. I don't know how I feel about this segment anymore.
Dex, you look great today.
Thank you.
Somebody chimed in and said, I feel like Dex's hero is the man in the mirror.
Michael Jackson?
No, you, man.
You look amazing. Your hair rocks.
I don't have hair.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Welcome to the Morning Invasion.
All right. Going. Let's do this. The grossest food that people love in every state.
People blew up the live line when you even like just teased it and everyone said the same thing.
What are they saying? What do they think New Mexico is as far as gross food? Because this is from, I don't want to just say it yet. Please don't spoil it for anybody.
Okay.
But Thrillist.com just put together a list of the grossest food that people love in every state. I got the highlights.
Okay.
But what are they saying so far?
Number one answer on the board, according to the Starmie, at least on the live line, we had like seven people chime in immediately and say, dude, menudo, bro, for sure.
Right? See, I thought it would be menudo as well, and it's okay. Not.
Can you back that train up? Can we back the lengua train up? Can you say menudo for me?
Menudo?
Okay.
I thought it was menudo, and...
It's menudo.
It's what?
Menudo.
Menudo. Menudo. Menudo. Okay. It's not. That is not the grossest food for New Mexico that they listed.
What was it?
Carne adobada.
Okay.
Or
wait.
Carne adobada.
Really?
Yeah, pork.
That's the grossest?
That's what they listed.
I had that this week in courtesy of a Blake's Breakfast Burrito with cheese.
The Rochester Garbage Plate. Oh, wait, that's New York. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not...
Let's see.
It's obviously delicious. It's got red chili in it. I don't understand what's wrong with this. This sounds so normal to me.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Carne adobada is number one for grossest food.
Yeah.
They obviously have never tried menudo.
Menudo.
As you say.
Guys, menudo. Pig intestines, right?
Man, I thought for sure it was like a chili relleno because it's got like...
No, it's delicious.
Chili relleno, Scott.
I tried menudo once, and
what?
Because of the smell.
Okay.
The smell, I just couldn't do it.
I will say, when I was a kid, I didn't realize there was a difference between pozole and menudo. I thought they were the same thing, and I was tricked.
Why do you sound drunk when you say menudo? Why do you do that? Menudo. Is that how I have to say it? Menudo. Just a question, man.
You realize you're mocking like two-thirds of us as a Starmy Nation.
Carne adobada. That's how you say it.
I'm sorry.
I would like
Who
to make an order,
like
ma'am.
They've had box wine.
I would like to have the carne adobada. What? Come on. not. No, it's carne asada.
I do that every time at Taco Cabana. Well, I'm okay. Like, hey, man, how y'all doing today? You doing good? All right, cool. I'm going to have the, why don't you go ahead and give me the huevos rancheros y...
Oh, man.
Y fajitas y huevos y...
It drives me nuts.
I seriously...
Hey, man, I love the menudo. I'll have the menudo.
Oh, man.
The carnaval. So yeah, that was the number one. Gross...
My mind's blown up with gross things from all over.
All right, so here's some of them. These are the highlights from the list that they put together. The grossest food that people love in every state. New Haven.
Yeah,
clam pie. The New Haven clam pie in Connecticut.
No, that wins.
That's pizza with clams and white sauce. Honestly, that sounds delicious because I love clams.
Wait, it's just pizza and white sauce and clams?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome.
We are not doing ourselves any services here because I am hungry.
How about some lamb fries in Kentucky?
Why is that gross?
Well, they're deep fried lamb testicles. Lamb fries. Okay.
Dexter McGill.
Kulikul in Mississippi.
A what?
Kulikul in Mississippi. That's a pickle soaked in Kool-Aid. What? Pickle nope. Soaked?
I changed my mind.
You New Mexicans.
Mississippi just won.
You New Mexicans love your pickles or your pickles. Is that how you say it?
No. Pickles. It's just a pickle, man.
Oh, sure. A pickle's a pickle.
Yeah.
Carnaval. And menudo.
You sound like you got bit by a bee on your tongue.
Exactly. That's how you all sound.
You are stereotyping us. No wonder you voted for Trump.
Okay.
Man.
I did not. Stop it right now. Kulikul in Mississippi.
You're going to get jumped in the parking lot.
New Mexicans, you got to try it. Pickle soaked in Kool-Aid. All right? It's a redneck way. Cincinnati chili five-way in Ohio.
What?
The Cincinnati Chili Five-Way in Ohio. It's spaghetti with chili instead of red sauce, plus cheese, beans, and onions on
top. That sounds awesome.
That sounds good. That's the Chili Five-Way. I like it.
Wow. I still can't believe that menudo is not the one.
Yeah, it's weird.
And that it's carne asada.
Last one here on the list, chop suey sandwich in Rhode Island.
Okay. What is that?
They put chop suey between two hamburger buns.
See, that just sounds kind of gross.
Yeah.
No, dude, the Kulikul or whatever it was called. What was it called? The Kulikul?
The Kulikul in Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's pickle soaked in Kool-Aid.
That sounds disgusting, man.
Whatever. If I have to sit next to somebody in the movie theater sucking on a pickle one more time, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Not only the smell, but just the... They open up the bag and it's you just want to die. Every time I go to the theater, somebody has a giant pickle in a bag. Stop doing it! It's Montana boy, can't take it.
Quite true. Quite true. Liveline says, I don't eat carne because it's so plain. I'm thinking whoever wrote this wasn't trying. Seriously.
Yeah.
There's some way worse things in New Mexico that we eat.
Yeah. If you'd like to chime in, what do you think that might be? 585 Live.
There's no way carne is real. That can't, I mean, I realize that's their number one, but they don't live here. They don't know, bro.
Yeah, pork in red sauce.
That's it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How about the liver mush?
The what?
The North Carolina liver mush.
I don't know if I want to know what that is.
It's both liver and mush.
What is mush?
Let's see. It's pig liver, head parts, and cornmeal. Make up these little bars that look like burnt Pop-Tarts. It's a southern staple. It looks like a cinder block. The liver mush.
Okay.
Fried rattlesnake. Have you ever had rattlesnake before?
I've never had.
Everybody says it tastes like chicken. Rattlesnake.
Why would you want to do that? I realize I'm going to sound like an idiot because I'm ignorant to the fact that how the venom works.
Yeah, it's in their...
It's in their mouths. They have these little
glands
like venom
and
glands.
Just in their mouth?
Yeah, it's not in their body.
I mean,
when they bite down, it shoots out from their glands, and it's not. You
it
know,
makes sense yeah. because I feel like if they were poison riddled, they would die.
Well,
somebody said slow mo for show on this bit.
I got to remember that.
Somebody else said Dex, don't be bullying the accent in Bully's 2017 world tour. Gonna make a stop for you.
Brah!
Brah! Yeah, you better be careful, yo.
How about crimes against ice cream in Oregon?
What is that? I don't know. I don't know if I want to hear this.
Let's see. It's blood pudding ice cream.
Okay, stop talking. Houston just chimed in and said, number one, worst?
Yes.
Your mom's cooking.
Oh.
Farmington just chimed in and said, sheep. Us Navajos eat a lot of sheep parts. Okay.
Okay. Okay, all right.
Somebody else said potted meat, bro. When I was a kid, my mom made me try cow brain.
Oh, how was that?
She totally lied to me and pretended like it was egg because she wanted us to try it. And she was, and
I bet
she
it was
knew,
probably good seasoned.
She knew that if we knew what it was, we wouldn't try it. So she, and it looked like egg. She cooked it up, looks like egg. She said it's egg. And we tried it and I was like, okay, just tastes like a, kind of like a bland egg. It wasn't.
I didn't have much taste.
Yeah, not much taste. And we're eating it. And then she said, it's cow brain. And I seriously
wanted
like,
to die. Yeah. That's messed up.
This is the worst thing I've ever tasted. Even though it tasted exactly the same.
You ever tried cow tongue?
No, but the live line actually said that. Menudo, cow tongue. I live in New Mexico, but I don't eat either. Blech. Blech. Cow tongue just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it's.
By the way, somebody said, dude, it shoots through the teeth, by the way. The rattlesnake, not through the mouth or whatever you said.
It's the glands?
Like through the teeth.
Don't they have a gland? Like,
I don't know. I asked you, and you seemed like you had an answer.
Well, I know it's just in the mouth, but yeah. As far as it shooting out of their tooth? I don't know. Maybe. You know what? You're probably right. I think you're right.
I have hollow teeth.
How about the deep fried butter in Texas?
That just sounds like a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. It's the king of fried foods, they call it. They freeze a slab of butter, wrap it in biscuit dough. The dairy melts into the dough as it enters the fryer, creating a taste similar to the butteriest piece of toast you've ever had. That sounds so good.
Wow.
I would eat that in a second.
Of course you would. Of course you would. And then 2 minutes later, you die.
Get some of that grass-fed butter. Oh, come okay. on, man. Come in that butter.
Liveline chiming in saying, OMG, potted meat is the best. Tabasco, fresh tortillas. All day.
Beautiful.
Hey, Tam.
Oh.
Hi, Tam.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you in studio.
Oh, please. Don't sound so excited.
We're so excited that you're.
By the way, I just want you to know, the pickles are just fine in the theater.
No, they're,
no,
not.
They're not.
Are you a pickle
I think
person?
They're delicious.
Don't do that. That is so rude to do in
and
a theater.
And I try really hard not to do the crunching noise. I try to eat it when there's like loud sounds.
Okay.
Like in the movie, like it's getting louder, so I take a bite of my pickle. You know what I mean? And then I can chew really, really quick, and then I like, and it gets quiet, and I just get quiet. My husband, on the other hand, remember how you said you wish you could marry Tones? Well,
yeah.
No. Nope.
This might be the reason you don't want to.
Yeah.
This might break you guys far, far apart. As friends, of course.
As friends.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he's a pickle eater, man. And he his jaws.
Can't do it, man.
I don't think he can cover it up.
Yeah.
It's so loud. I'm like, honey, what's happening in there? What is going on, sweetheart?
Yeah, he's got
and he's like, my mouth is closed. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix it.
It's funny. I know people like that.
It's like they have a thin
jaw. My brother's
jaw.
Like that. He'll chew with his mouth closed, but it's.
It is.
Oh, gosh. Stop it. You guys are killing me right now.
And I got
you
my
sound
mouth
like
closed.
A pig.
I know. And that's what like it sounds like. It's so weird, but you can hear everything.
He doesn't have the pig effect, but he does. You can hear everything.
Yeah.
Just chomping.
That means he's enjoying his
And he
food.
Tries so hard to, because he knows that it's so irritating to me. But I just look at him. I don't even like have to say anything. I don't give him a look of death. I just look at him like, every time I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Like, how is this happening?
Isn't it dumbfounded?
Dumbfounded.
You're dumbfounded.
I'm dumbfounded.
You're dumbfounded.
Did.
Yes.
So there's that.
We're dumbfounded.
Never tried the Kool-Aid thing.
We're talking about the grossest foods that people love in every state.
Live line's blowing up.
What are they saying?
South Carolina said, the worst I ate when I was a kid was government surplus food. Canned ham with jelly around it.
That's disgusting.
Somebody MREs, said, man.
What about Rocky Mountain oysters? That should have made the list somewhere.
Oh, I think that's Montana.
Okay.
Let me see.
Somebody else said chicken hearts, man. Pretty nasty. Delicacy in northern New Mexico. I actually don't hate chicken hearts. Have you guys ever had a chicken heart before?
They're a little gamey for me. A little chalky.
And they're like tiny. It's like a little mint.
The part that
a little mint.
Part that breaks my heart about that is when I go to eat chicken, it looks like a real heart. Because it is.
Right.
And I feel so strange. Just like, oh, look, it's a little beating heart. And
which is kind of ironical because you said it breaks your heart, but it literally breaks
tears apart. Yeah. It digests theirs.
Yeah. Wisconsin chimed in and said, being of Polish heritage, I have eaten some strange things. Some of the strangest have been lamb blood soup and cow tongue. You could feel the cow's taste buds on your tongue and down your throat. I almost passed out. Ugh. Almost passed out. It was touch and go there for a second, guys. Not going to lie.
Sorry, I just threw up.
Coronado hot dogs. Not because they taste bad, because my mom and dad cook them every single day for my teenage life.
They're on them all.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I'm like, what are you talking
about? Coronado hot dogs.
Hot dog on a stick, man.
Oh. Love it.
How about the Nebraska hot beef sundae?
I don't know if I want to
know that thing right there.
What is
hot
What's a hot beef sundae?
Well, it's mashed potatoes. That's the ice cream. It's the mashed potatoes.
Okay.
You got the roast beef. Okay. That's the chocolate. And then you top it with some gravy. That's the caramel.
That's normal.
That's not bad.
And you put a cherry on top, which is a tomato.
Yeah, so those aren't really cherries, chocolate, or caramel. So it's normal.
No, that's a hot beef sundae.
That yeah, it's normal. Awesome. It's like a beef stew dinner. I mean, like a beef dinner. It's
pretty
fine.
Much, yeah. But you just make
so
it
my favorite, did you guys already say it? My favorite?
What's your favorite?
The one I've been eating since I was a little kid?
I don't know.
Peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
Gross, I've heard
man.
That. People love that.
It's amazing.
I don't like dill pickles, though. Mm. I'm more of a sweet guy.
Some people think that, some people say that even though they don't like pickles, they like it with the peanut butter sandwich.
Huh.
You might want to try it.
I might try that because it does sound gross. But
and you
got to
slice them. You know what I mean? Like slice those little thin. Don't like just like wrap a pickle in a peanut butter bread.
Like
don't,
put, yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
Like pigs in a blanket.
Don't do that.
But it's like a pickle.
Don't do it.
Just wrapped in.
Not that. You have to do the slices.
No, I'm doing it that way. I'm making a pig in a blanket. It's going to be with the little gherkins, those little like sweet pickles, and peanut butter.
No, they have to be dill.
Delicacies.
They can't be so.
No, man. It's going to be the sweet ones will kind of make up for the jelly.
I just looked at Steve-O's face like, just, and he was looking down at his hands. He has nothing in his hands. And he literally looked like he could see it.
I could.
And
I could see it.
Delicacy.
That's what I'm serving at the Super Bowl, man. People can be like, what's this? I'm like, it's a new delicacy.
Call
it's
it
a
Tam's
sweet
delicacy.
Gherkin and some Jif extra creamy.
Call it Tam Gherkin.
We're talking about the grossest food that people love in every state. Look at Michigan's. It's some stuff
things.
Your neighbor killed. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go, Bill Peterson. That's
I got to say, though, man, Michigan, Bill Peterson had us over one time for chili and hot dogs, like, but Detroit style, and it was phenomenal.
What was it?
I don't even know, man. It was like a certain brand of hot dog from Michigan.
Was it possum?
That you couldn't get here.
Yeah.
And it was like some kind of chili.
It was probably possum.
He said
it
could have been
possum.
The guy, so it was okay.
Don't know what was in the chili. I didn't even care, man. I grubbed.
I bet it was possum. They love possum.
See, when you don't
know,
you just eat because you love food.
See, I'm okay with that. If I don't know what it is and it tastes good, I'm okay with it.
Tomorrow
I just don't
we're
going to
try cow tongue.
No.
But I won't tell you what it is.
Ugh.
Wait.
Can I tell you about a breakdown that happened last night about this food thing? What I made?
What'd
do
you
it.
Make?
Last night, I made a horrible mistake.
I
decided that I was going to make this cabbage soup that I absolutely love, that I love to eat like all the time. I could eat it every day. Okay? And I remember just off the top of my head, okay, this goes in there, this goes in there, this goes in there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give or take a few, blah, 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 blah. It should be fine. I didn't decide to make one pot of it. I decided to make two. Huge, huge pots.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I bought 3 heads of cabbage and I used all 3 of them.
Wow.
Also, I used 4 bell peppers. I used a bag of carrots and I couldn't fit the celery because it was too full. I did throw some asparagus in there. Sounds delicious, right? I stayed up till 1 o'clock this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Waiting for it to cool, putting it in containers, cleaning up my stove. There was purple everywhere. One was chicken, one was beef. It was like the deer meat. You know, we killed the deer. So yeah. We used some of the deer meat there. And I'm like, this is going to be great. You guys, one, it wasn't awesome. Two, I have like 4 weeks worth of it.
Can I have some?
Yes. And three, I forgot to bring it today.
Oh,
so I'm starving.
Oh my gosh, do you like, Tam.
Do you like cabbage soup? Like it's like a
thing.
I don't
know. I've never
some
had
people
it.
Love it. Some people hate it.
I'm not a big fan of cabbage. So does it just taste like cabbage? Or is it?
I mean, there's seasoning. So if there's seasoning and it's like, it's not like just
I'll
raw.
Try. Bring it in.
I'm going to bring it in.
By the way that you were, you know, just telling us about cooking this cabbage,
yeah.
It totally reminded me of a witch brewing. You know, he's got the broom and you just...
Come on! Got a cabbage! No. I got 4 heads of cabbage in here!
I made them extra sloppy for you!
That's you just stirring away all your cabbage.
I know how you get this like them sloppy!
Lady, you're scaring us!
So weird. Lady, you're scaring us. See? There's the witch's laugh. Yeah, purple. You said purple. I mean, it just was like, whoa.
I didn't like dab a spell in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, my cousin Shelby, poor thing, she was trying to help me.
You put your
and she's
cousin
like,
Shelby
I am
in there?
Newt.
Poor
Smile
thing.
Newt. Cousin Shelby's hair.
I feel so bad. That poor soul. She stayed and she didn't even basically eat dinner. Guys, it took like forever to make. I had to run to a rehearsal down the street.
You ran over Herschel?
I ran to rehearsal down the road at God's house because February 5th, I'll be at God's house.
You're dying?
Man.
You're going home?
I'm singing. Forget
going
it.
To heaven.
Guys, Tam's forget going back to God's house.
On Wyoming and Candelaria. I mean, Wyoming and all.
It's called God's house?
Why can't you guys just come to it?
That's cool.
By
yeah.
the way, Michigan, squirrel. Red squirrel, not gray.
Oh,
that's real.
There's a difference?
They rock squirrel.
That's,
yeah.
Red squirrel?
That's sad.
Red squirrel.
No.
There you go. According to this list, which is stupid, did you hear what New Mexico was as far as gross food?
Menudo, not menudo.
No.
No, carne adobada was number one.
Carne adobada.
And I don't understand.
Carne adobada? Uh-huh. It's delicious.
So stupid.
It's so good.
How you guys say it is
you're
ridiculous.
A gringo, mijito.
Carne adobada.
Mira, pero.
Uh-huh.
You're a gringo.
585 Live. You can chime in on the conversation. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Major League Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the Cardinals have to pay the Houston Astros $2 million within the next month and give the Astros the Cards' top two picks in the 2017 draft. Last year, former St. Louis scouting director Christopher Correa pleaded guilty to illegally breaking into Houston's confidential player databases.
The White House defends President Trump's order suspending immigration from 7 nations with Muslim majorities.
This is about the safety of America, and there's a reason that the majority of Americans agree with the president. It's because they understand that that's his number one priority.
Spokesman Sean Spicer says the president is taking common sense steps and that it's not about religion, but opponents call it discrimination.
We are a nation founded by the descendants of asylum seekers.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer are trying to block the order in Congress. He also leads a rally at the Supreme Court.
Three of the biggest makers of insulin products to treat diabetes are being sued in a class action lawsuit.
Two U.S. officials tell us Iran secretly conducted a new ballistic missile test launch at a launch site outside Simnan, Iran, about 140 miles east of Tehran.
Now we are. Good morning.
Just love, natural love.
Man, if you guys could hear the conversation we were having.
Loving in the heart, naturally loving, not doing anything out of obligation, just love.
Love.
Such
a weird. That's the challenge today, guys. Honestly, we were talking earlier this morning about a story that was in the news on Cal Penn. He's raised almost $1 million for Syrian refugees because an internet troll just was throwing hate
at the fact that, you know, Cal Penn, you know, was born in America, but he looks like he's from India, would you say? Would you say?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Pakistan.
Sorry, is Cal Penn a one word? Is that a name?
Huh? No, his name is Cal.
Cal Penn.
K-A-L.
Oh,
last name, Penn.
He was Kumar on Harold and Kumar.
Got it.
Why do you say Kumar weird?
Kumar?
What is it?
Kumar? Harold and Kumar.
Kumar.
That's what I said.
Kumar.
No, you say Kumar. Kumar. Harold and Kumar.
I said that.
Okay.
We were talking about today the challenges. When you see somebody on Facebook spewing hate, saying something negative, either don't respond. Or say something, you know, nice, you
loving.
Know, positive, loving. Same thing at work. You know, respond the opposite of the way that you want to respond, which usually is in a negative way. Do the opposite of that. That's the challenge today.
I have something to say about that. So, in your brain, you can train yourself through immediate behavior and feelings will come later. You do it long enough. You will feel like being nice, and you will still be nice.
Is that why they tell you, you know, to look in the mirror and constantly tell you, tell yourself, you look
you're
great.
Good enough.
Yeah.
You're smart enough.
You're beautiful. You are an amazing person. You say that over and over. You start to believe it, right?
You're right. And I think that being careful not to turn it into vanity, because I think it's like you can like start to look, but it's like it's called it's a clear name for itself, distorted view of oneself. It's like a distorted view. They call it a disorder, but really it's just transforming by the renewing of your mind is what's going on. And women who struggle with anorexia and bulimia and things like that, they actually see themselves differently, like when they look in the mirror.
Right.
And they've drawn pictures of themselves. And when they show themselves, they're like 40 to 50, 60, sometimes even 100 pounds bigger. They look bigger on paper than they would when someone draws like a normal picture of them.
Yeah.
So they can't see themselves that way. So it's about transforming that mindset by renewing your thoughts and saying, I'm going to be realistic about what's going on. The reality of the situation is if I'm this much overweight, then this is what I need to do in order to reach this, to be healthy and whatever. And then realistically, listen, if I feel like I'm not really well put together, I just feel like I'm constantly in my sweatpants and my hair up, which is me. That's me. I love dressing down. I love dressing in workout clothes. I love just like not wearing makeup. It's like the best thing ever. And that's okay with me.
Are you a tomboy?
I absolutely am a tomboy. I mean,
she's a tamboy.
I'm a tamboy.
You're a tamboy.
And so like, you know, but yet I'm still a woman. I'm still feminine. I'm still a she. I am a woman. So I have to remind myself that as well. And my husband as well, he enjoys when I dress up. He likes when I wear certain things. And so
sure.
I want to be there as well for him in that sense and let him enjoy his wife. You know what I mean? He likes looking at me. So I want to make sure if there's a particular shirt he really likes, sometimes I'll throw it on or whatever it is. It's not really to get this approval, but it's more so just to kind of, just to show love, like we're talking about.
Yeah.
So you just do different things. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you feel like when my husband, he'll look at me and he'll just like stare at me and he'll tell me how beautiful I am. It's very hard for me to receive that. I'm like, don't stare at me so long, or the longer you stare, you're going to notice all these things about me. But in reality, I have to tell myself the reality of the situation is my husband wants to look longer at me and he wants to tell me how beautiful I am. I need to be able to let him love me. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. So we covered
that. Because you're battling
ways.
Your brain, dude. Because
exactly.
Think about it. Every day is so wonderful. And then suddenly it's hard to breathe. You know, like
the oxygen.
Now and then I get insecure from all the pain.
This is a song.
So ashamed.
If you rhyme, I knew you were
no, Christina just, Aguilera.
But I got to remember
is this genie in
that
the
I am beautiful.
Oh.
No I matter what they say.
No matter what they say.
Because words can't bring me down.
Words can't bring me down.
That's weird that you're singing like the thoughts in my brain. That's weird.
Wow.
I just thought of those words myself.
Did you just come up with this song?
Yeah. Because sometimes to all your friends, you're delirious, right? So consumed.
Yeah.
And all your doom.
All your doom?
Yeah, that melody just came to me.
Huh.
We should write a song.
You're trying hard to fill the emptiness.
And we'll give it to Christina Aguilera.
The piece is gone.
And then she can
puzzle
make it big or whatever.
I love it.
Ain't that the way it is?
Ain't that the way it is? That's just the way it is.
Steve and I wrote a rap song.
No.
Okay.
Did you hear a rap song?
No, but
you didn't.
You know I love these.
Yes.
Oh no.
Come on.
So I've spent a lot of time. It's evolving still. I don't know if it still needs a little more work.
Okay,
but
we're not. You're wanting my opinion. I'm happy to give it to you.
Okay, good.
Sure, sure.
I wrote a song about CrossFit.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Okay.
And Steve-O joined me.
No, but here's the
thing.
We
collaborated. Hey, come on, man. It's on the beat now. I fixed it. When I first did the song, I was a little off on the beat.
Uh-huh. He hands really me hard. Lyrics and he says, rap these. And I'm like,
without a beat.
Okay. And I put headphones on. I'm like, where's the beat? And he's like, no beat. Just say those lyrics.
Yeah, he's the one to do more of like
a guys, this is my second song that I've ever produced. Give me, cut me some slack.
Yeah, cut him some slack, okay?
Okay, maybe third or fourth song.
It's like the fifth song.
Fifth song. My bad.
Cut him some slack.
I'm learning, okay?
Okay.
So, what's your rap name?
And you know, honestly, Dexy, that's
butternuts.
Weird. That's
butternuts weird. A little awkward. This is butternuts a little awkward.
And this is truly, like, I'm looking forward to this, what you're about to play, because you know that I actually think that you are good at this.
Thank you.
Appreciate I really it. Do.
All right. Well,
you're going to leave us.
Here it is. Okay.
You know.
Oh, God.
Dex and Steve-O. You know, we ain't really never been in shape. It don't matter now. We got a gym.
Okay. Hey! CrossFit. Deadlift. Sweating. Jumping on the box box.
Jumping. Rowing. I got style. Give me that back squat.
Back squat. Cooking up that rope. I'm in a crock pot. We came from nothing to something.
Gotta trust everybody. Grip that rope.
That
check
rope.
Out the wad. France gonna get you. My gym's is bad and bougie.
Bad and bougie.
Cooking up that rope like an Uzi.
My coach is savage.
Coach is savage.
Ruthless.
Ruthless.
I think it needs this.
Doing those squats, doing those lifts. Baby, I'm gonna get nice and strong.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Doing those squats, doing those lifts. Baby, I'm gonna get nice and strong. Yeah.
She's gonna get strong, fit. She's gonna get strong, fit. She's gonna get strong, fit. Quality tip.
Yeah.
Quality tip.
Dude, you just completed the song. I need you in the studio after the show.
Okay, done.
We need to throw down the track.
We need to throw it down, man.
What just?
That was sick. Man.
All of a sudden, Mary J. Blige popped up in
for
studio.
Real? You're Mary J. Blige.
Thank you.
Oh,
that.
Man.
That's
great. I was feeling
Lil
it,
Tam.
You know what I mean?
Lil Tam. Lil Tam, Lil Awkward, and Butternuts in the hizza. Just in my letter.
I just can't believe that. That was, I'm my jaw dropped.
That was good.
That was good, Tam.
That was really good, Tam.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
I did not see that, no. Yeah, Santa Fe just chimed in and said, she has a great voice. Dex, pull out your guitar and accompany her.
Where's my guitar?
Yeah, pull I saw that earlier. I wasn't sure if you were going to...
Get that guitar.
Play
hand
that.
It to me.
Here you go.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Sure.
What are you going to be singing?
I learned guitar in a week, by the way,
okay.
Tam. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm still a little,
good
little
for
rusty,
you.
But...
okay.
I don't know.
Good.
But you know what? Join me in on this. You know, we'll collaborate.
Okay,
see if we can come up with
we'll
something.
See what we can come up with. That's totally fine. Let me just let you make sure it's in... tune.
Hold on a second. Let me calibrate the guitar real quick. My fingers are a little out.
Steve-O, what are you doing over there?
Just chilling, okay. Watching you guys work.
Cool.
All right. Think we're good?
Almost. You're not there yet.
It's some of Grandpa's guitar. And,
dum, 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 dum,
it's
dum.
Old. It's not a very good guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try this.
It's fine.
A minor C.
Nope.
Back to an F.
Yep.
String the vocals.
There it is. Mm-hmm.
Here we go. 1 week I learned a guitar. Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
It's a song I wrote.
Still a little out of tune, but it's
right
okay.
Now.
Just start it and I'll just, you know,
okay.
Do the second verse.
It's the morning invasion, I love to sing. Got my girl Tam, she's right here.
That was my cue. Yeah.
You know, it's okay, the first time we've done this.
Can you do that one more time for me, and then I'll just come in on the right spot? Okay, great.
Got my girl Tam right here. She's right here.
Okay, here's, I thought you were going to go longer. No, it's okay. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll take it over from here.
Okay.
He's my boy Dex, and he does a lot of talking. And it's my boy Steve-O.
That's me.
He does a lot of talking too. I can't decide which one I love most, because both of them are kind of crazy and really sometimes can be really, 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 really irritating.
What?
But I still love them. Yeah, I still love them. Oh, Steve-O and Dexy Poo. I love you.
Let me just pick it up real quick. Can I pick it up?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Let me just pick it up one more time, okay?
Yeah.
Let me drop the nine.
Drop the nine or
five chord strings. The F.
Yeah, clear that throat.
I was inspired. Here we go. Again, okay. YouTube 1 week. If you want lessons, go to my YouTube channel. It's Dex Knows Guitar.
Sorry, what? Oh, that's nice. I'll harmonize with you, Dexy.
Got it.
Well, I learned to sing, and I learned to dance, but I didn't learn how to eat properly, 'cause I'm obese.
I write about my life a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I do. You know, struggles I go through.
Damn, just holding it down with those words.
That was, you backed me up so beautifully.
You're welcome. That's my dream.
So good.
It's just to back you up and I just want to be there for you.
Thank you.
If you want, I could do a call and answer. I mean, I can just respond really quick to that, to your song.
Nah, it's okay.
No, yeah, it's fine.
All right. It's good.
It's just called You're Beautiful. I've just been working on it for a while.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. You really need to get that high E fixed on your guitar.
Yeah.
Well, it's... you have a guitar without a high E string.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
This is the
grandpa's guitar.
It's pretty terrible, man.
It's funny, because I have another guitar at home that's actually in really good shape.
Look at that.
I mean,
it's warped.
A little raised.
It's pretty bad, man.
It's hard to
hear.
It's
been sitting in the garage and in my house.
Man, your guitar playing skills have gotten much better.
Like, that you could just drop and we can just, you know what I mean? You can just rap and I can just hook that.
You want a beat?
Give me a beat, man.
It's a little more chill than I was expecting, but
hey, man.
Songwriting 101 with Tam.
Hey, Dex. See the way you're looking at yourself in the mirror. Don't be dogging on yourself, boy, you look good, yeah. Don't be telling yourself that you obese and fat. No, he ain't. Boy, you look good, you know it. Eating those oranges and apples and bananas, yeah. You got those peanuts on lockdown when you get hungry. Dex, you look good. Dex, you look so good, yeah.
Oh, man.
Dex, you look good.
I'm blushing right now.
You should.
Keep on eating those oranges and going to CrossFit at Bear Canyon University, yeah. Oh, yeah, university, yeah. Yeah. Fit University, yeah. Oh,
that's great.
So there's that. I mean,
that's
we could try that.
Except you need like a smooth rhyme.
I ran out.
Dex, you look good.
Yeah, you're that's better, fat, man.
Yeah. I can't. But you sing and I can rhyme.
I'm trying to I feel like that was rough. You know, that music is really hard to just
man, it was really
people are losing their minds on the live line right now. losing.
Does this mean they're going to show up on February 5th at God's House on Wyoming and Manal?
No, apparently.
See me singing, I mean, to the with a choir. There
you go. Colorado Springs just said, man, you found your third for the morning invasion. Everybody's like, that was amazing. Tam killed it.
Well, Tam doesn't have time for us except
somebody
for Tuesdays.
Else said,
I love having time for you.
Is Dex really playing that guitar?
Hi! Come on now.
Farmington said, that's interesting. Watching the webcam.
What?
Huh.
Steve-O's pretty good at that guitar.
Okay.
Oh, no!
That's a stabbing.
Did someone just superimpose Steve-O playing the guitar?
That's weird.
That is not okay.
That is so strange. They did that fast.
Learned it in 1 week,
it's live.
Guys.
Somebody said, Dex, that song brought tears to my eyes. I feel you, man. I feel you.
Oh, man, thank you. It's good stuff.
You know, I'm an emotional eater. It happens.
Oh, my gosh. Well...
Oh, man.
Well, we have just about, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes left of the show, Tim. Would you like to just say something before we get out of here? Because I know you always have something you like to
talk about. Can I just say that New York City just chimed in? New York City.
New York City.
New York is listening. And they said, yo, Tam is incredible.
She's so good.
So good.
Good job.
I loved everything about today.
Maybe that's what we need. Maybe it needs to be quality Tam. Maybe it needs to be quality Sing Tam Tuesday. Quality Tam Sing Tuesday.
I'll bring my guitar, and then we'll have two guitars.
Yes.
Sure.
My favorite, honestly, was when you were trying to harmonize with his terrible lyrics that you did not
professional.
Know.
Professional. Just professional.
You know, I thought you, I did think that you were going to, you know, say the word obese again, but instead you went straight for the fat word.
I did.
So I missed that.
But y'all also missed on that song the opportunity to say that Dex is fat, but like P-H-A-T. Like he's fat. Yes. But he's not obese.
Hey!
Like he's not fat.
Yeah.
But like you're like reclaiming, you're like repurposing the word.
Thank
for
goodness.
Pretty hot and tempting, I believe, are the actual words.
What?
To that, those letters.
No. Listen, y'all.
To his wife.
I wore
Fat
Farm back in the day. I know good clothing. Okay.
Okay.
It did not mean pretty hot and tempting.
Mm. Oh.
It was just fat, yo.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was fat. It was fat what I just said.
It was philosophically hip-hop.
Heaven.
Also,
yes.
Temptations, because they were huge fans of the Temptations.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know. I'm a history buff.
I can see that.
We're done.
That was good. Thanks for taking my 2 minutes. Remember when you asked me if I had something to say? No, it's fine.
You got about 30
somebody
seconds.
Said Alexa's been replaced on the live line.
Well,
somebody said,
hard.
Please slow-mo these songs. I don't know if these songs need to be slow-moed, man. They're pretty...
Man, that'd be fun. That'd be funny.
Okay, guys.
Tam, did you have anything else to say?
I had a blast. I'm back in the gym. Wanted to thank you guys for your encouragement.
Yay! You betcha.
Yeah, but mostly I'm just focusing on good character and healthy living.
I like
and everything
that.
Else will
good
come.
Character.
Love everything it. Else will come.
Well, you are a character.
Bless you.
Real!
Guys,
real.
Have a great Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.